revelations of that, you know, the elite at a very high level, and we actually know the basic number of them as well, are doing human trafficking, human rape, and human sacrificing of children because they're the closest to God. And when I like read this, I mean, it's unthinkable. Like, you don't want to believe it. And so I mentioned it on Joe Rogan, but I also mentioned that I was starting an AI company. And what shocked me is after the show, more people wanted to talk about the AI thing, and more people were upset about, you know, that I was starting an AI company than they were about, you know, this nightmare of elites eating babies.
It's the first time since 2012. First time since 2012 that there are no British actors nominated for Best Actor or Best Actress. Yeah, British spokesperson said, yeah, well, at least we arrest our pedophiles. So, you got that going for you.
And so then I started thinking about why is this happening? Like, and I mean, we've seen people who have spoken about it, who have, you know, been who have participated in it and who have left, you know, it's a kind of, it's an initiation that you go through to become, it's a confidence initiation that you go through to become part of a team. And that's when I realized that this is not something that's unique to the elites, that human nature involves these kinds of hazing initiations, or else we wouldn't see it happening since childhood.
Andrew Breitbart, I'm quoting you, in a newspaper interview he gave last year discussing the people who run Hollywood, quote,
uh-oh,
yes, quote, I'm telling you, they're uninteresting, they're vicious, they're vitriolic, they're really, really not good people, and I'm willing to say that on the record, close quote. Is there any of that that you regret?
No.
What makes them really, really not good people?
Well, I'm not saying the entirety, but the ones who have controlled Hollywood for the last 40 years, that quote could be attributed to the campus left as well. It could be attributed to people in who are in charge in Venezuela right now. Anywhere where the left gets control, you start to see political correctness run amok. You start seeing dissenting views quashed. They use projection right before they do so. They start attacking the people that are about to go after of being guilty of the very things that they do.
And lesser magic, which the Satanists do, they'll tell you, they show the thing in play before they do. They believe it makes it happen, and it gives it more power once they do it. And then you have the Podesta plan that if Trump won, they would actually do this and have the military turn against Trump, but now they've tried it. It's not an endorsement of Trump. He's doing some things I don't like right now. The point is they are literally pre-programming this and admitting it.
Yeah, and they're willing it into happening, and they're showing everyone an example of what it would be. So that, again, the revelation of the method, you see what's there, and it makes it okay for it to happen. And it's a form of, also of predictive programming.
And you started it on the show, but then I do it too. He cut you off on another subject. Elaborate, because I've studied the Graham Grimoires, black magic, all that stuff to understand these people. They talk about, you have to show them, you have to tell them, that's a metaphysical rule. It also gets them ready. And then it makes it even more powerful when you actually do it. And then you realize that they're doing this. Speak to that if you can.
Well, we live in a universe of mind. And the one thing I've started to realize is that these kind of forms of spells, this magic is real. When you believe something enough, you create a reality.
Yeah, we call it a spell. What it is a narrative to control your mind, and we can build incredible things. So it's a program.
It is a program. You select it, you project it, you expect it, and then you collect it. It's the spec method, and it actually works. And so people who are using it for, you know, there's good spells and bad spells, and there's spells that are promoting humanity, and then there's spells that are disintegrating humanity. When people are doing sacrifice.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you gotta do is try it, you'll be blown away. Take action now. TheOptionStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheOptionStore.com.
It has been coming into focus since we've been on the air. The former director of the FBI, Jim Comey, has reportedly been subpoenaed in that wide-ranging grand conspiracy case that they're trying to assemble against anyone who ever investigated and sought to prosecute Donald Trump. We'll get to that.
You know that hurt her over at MSNBC. They couldn't stand to report on the reality that, well, of course, there is a major shakeup happening right now. Long overdue, the DOJ finally crunching down, and we've been bringing this to you guys for quite some time now, the details about a grand jury in Florida. Welcome to today's show, The American Journal. Some, sense of optimism is here. Possibly charges coming for those who decided to use the Russian collusion hoax to go after President Donald Trump. That's what we're talking about right now. It was very interesting news that broke yesterday. And obviously both James Comey, neither the DOJ want to talk about any of this, confirm whether it's real or not. But it looks like the grand jury in Florida is beginning to heat up. Now, I'm not going to oversell you on this one. We'll tell you the truth on that front, because guess what? It might not lead to anything of substance. There's a quite possibility, a high possibility, that it might not actually lead to anything of substance. Folks, welcome to today's show. It is The American Journal, my very last show hosting for all of you at home right now. So we're very excited that you're here today. A lot happening on the front of, digging through all the lawfare, trying to go back around and hold those accountable. That's what we're digging into today. The James Comey news about the subpoena specifically, just recently happening, that coming to us yesterday. The probe is all about this grand jury that apparently launched last year, issued over 130 subpoenas for both Biden and Obama officials. And again, this is all due to the fact of the election, the Russian election collusion hoax, that lie that they sold. Remember that? We'll be diving into all of that in just a moment, too. Let me give you a brief overview of what we have planned for you on the final show. The American Journal will live on, but without me. Folks, we got a lot going on over here today. We have a great lineup of guests joining me today. I'm very excited about that. Raw Egg Nationalist will be jumping on with us in about 20 minutes. He's done a bunch of credible work over at the Infowars.com website. He's one of our great journalists over there. And there's a couple of stories he's been working on that I'm excited to have him here for, because he's going to be piecing it all together for us. I'll also be joined by my good friend, Mr. Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark just left the Trump administration a few days ago, and he's going to be joining us for his first InfoWars appearance. I'm very, very excited about this. Many of you guys know Jeff Clark. Talk about him often. Now you're going to finally get to meet the man. Jeff Clark is a patriot. He's been fighting in this country for justice because, well, he knows there was a lot of irregularities during the 2020 election, and we all saw what they did to him. They raided his home. They went after him. They made him a co-defendant in Fulton County. But Jeff Clark is a fighter, and he's continuing to fight, and he has a new role just a couple of days ago, again, leaving the administration and stepping into a new position. We're going to ask him about that. We're also going to be talking to Hunter Gaylor as well. As many of you guys know, we have him on quite often. He's an American First strategist. But most importantly, we're going to talk more about the economic ramifications for what's going on right now in Iran. I'm talking about oil prices. As many of you guys know, I was just at the pump the other day. It's almost $4 a gallon. Now, listen, Democrats are using this now as their opportunity to pounce. They didn't care when the prices were significantly low. But now they're creeping up a bit. They're all jumping on board. They're piling up. But Hunter has a great piece up right now on a Substack page where he walks us through why, you know, when it comes to being a superpower, a global superpower, it truly has nothing to do with policy and has everything to do with things like rare earth minerals, oil, and others. So we're going to have him on the program to discuss that. Plus, as always, it's not a Friday if Mel K is not joining the show. And you know my girl Mel K will be joining the show. We look forward to just that. Mel jumping on with us, talk about a lot. Specifically, though, I do want to hear her takes on FISA, because we've been talking about on the show, as many of you guys know, I'm not letting up anytime soon on the FISA argument. FISA is up for renewal. And it's really, really strange, because when you go through all of the information, you very quickly realize that a lot of people have a change of heart all of a sudden. And it's really, really strange. Like, really, really strange. You know, Lauren Boebert, she is the congresswoman from the state of Colorado. She has done an incredible job at piecing everything together. Lauren actually went through, and I love that we had to call this out, because I reported this earlier in the week. Chairman Jim Jordan's office is now telling me that Jim Jordan is actually on board for a clean renewal of FISA. That means no changes. Keep it moving. They're literally kicking the can down the road like they always do for another 18 months. And they just seem like, well, let's just do it for now. Right? I guess they don't think they're going to lose the midterms. I guess that's what they're going with that one. But the interesting part in all of this is Jim Jordan was always somebody who understood the argument against renewing FISA without the key elements that need to be fixed. And now fixing FISA has almost become fringe. Like, they don't even want to talk about it anymore. And I saw the report that Jim Jordan was on board for just renewing a clean FISA. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. And it was the mainstream media. So I reached out for comment, and guess what? It was true. His office confirming it to me. Apparently they had an explanation that they haven't still given me as to why they wanted to back this. You gotta pile up. You gotta call these people. You gotta call Chairman Jim Jordan's office and say that's unacceptable. And then we heard, we'll play the clip for you. The president, apparently, according to the CIA director, supports renewing FISA. Why? Because they use the same BS argument every time. The 70% of the material used in the president's daily briefings comes from FISA. So that's supposed to justify violating the rights of Americans? No. No. Unacceptable. We'll keep pushing on that front, too. There's a lot to dive into there. But I want to get back to the lawfare, because a lot has been going on with the lawfare in this country. And people haven't been made whole. And when I'm talking about people, I'm talking about Michael Caputo. He's someone who I highly respect. We're going to play clip two for you in a second. But before we do, we're going to tee that one up for you. Caputo is somebody who is a fighter. He's still on Trump's side. He helped him with his campaign. But when he was a member of the administration, they went after him. They went after him. It was all, and this is why it's relevant to the topic, the soundbite we played at the opening of the show. Why? Because Michael Caputo was one of the people who was literally bankrupt in all of this. And when you go through the numbers as to what they actually did to him financially, it's devastating. He just recently did an interview, and I'm so proud that he's speaking out on the issue. Take a listen to clip two.
What have these Russia investigations cost you and your family?
Well, my legal fees are over $500,000. I'm a guy who, you know, grew up in a trailer park. So it's a lot. We lost everything there. We lost our children's college funds, and we lost our house. We had to move. Not just because of the financial impact, but because of the violence that was threatened and the people who were sitting outside my house while I was recovering from cancer, throwing pebbles at my window to keep me up at night. It isn't just financial costs. It's the death threats and the, you know, the strange, weird surveillance by citizens as they're following you. You see it now, nowadays when they're running around following the immigration officials. It's the same thing. I can tell you. Beyond the financial costs, you know, the immediate financial costs, the opportunity costs, I lost the most profitable years of my career, you know, 55 to 61, 52 to 61, and we'll never recover. We'll never recover. But I keep hearing from people, especially since I know Ed Martin, and he hears from these people seeking pardons who are still being prosecuted today.
Isn't that insane? That's what's going on right now in this Trump administration. Michael Caputo is somebody who, just such a great, nice guy. I've had the pleasure of working with him on booking him on other shows and whatnot. And he's truly passionate about saving this country. And the fact that they used him and his family to go out there and push this Russian collusion hoax is absolutely disgraceful. It's just another reason why justice needs to come. And again, Ed Martin's trying his best. Remember, folks, over at the DOJ, they shut down the weaponization division over there. So Ed Martin's only the partner attorney now. Now, why did we do that? And by we, I mean Todd Blanche. Make no mistake. And where's the president on this issue? Does he even know? See, this is the problem that's going on in this country right now. We were sold a bunch of campaign promises. And at the very beginning of the campaign, or I should say, the very beginning of his presidency, everyone just kind of, it was very exciting. But here we are over a year into this, and guess what? Nothing. Not a zip. Not a single arrest. We're still talking about grand juries. We're still talking about grand juries. We're still talking about these corrupt individuals, how bad the lawfare was. But they won't actually do anything about it. No surprise there. I want to pivot for a second, because yesterday we also heard again from Joe Kent. Now, many of you guys know, it was very, it's a very chaotic week, because Joe Kent handed over a resignation letter that I've never seen before in my life. Joe Kent went guns blazing in his resignation letter. Actually, I'm lying to you. My Fox News resignation letter was a little spicy, too. Yeah, it was. It's me taking a jab at the, literally a jab at the libs within the HR department. But Joe Kent may have outdone me. Joe Kent spoke yesterday at a Catholics for Catholics convention event that was going on and walked us through, again, why he resigned from his position. Take a listen to clip three.
This decision to follow your conscience, give us a little backstory. How did that happen?
Without getting too much into detail, I just did a long form podcast with Tucker, kind of laid out the entire politics of the issue. But look, after serving 20 years, mostly deployed to the Middle East, fighting the wars over there, and just seeing how our country had been lied to and brought down the wrong path in those wars, and that we were getting sucked into another one, and that the American people didn't have the full story, and our country did not have a vital national interest in this current fight. I said, hey, I in good conscience can't do this, because that was a promise I made to myself probably 20 plus years ago when I was deployed to Iraq. Once I realized after my first couple deployments that we weren't there for the reasons that our government told us we were there for, I said, if it's ever my turn, if I'm ever an adult in this situation, I ever have a position of responsibility, I will not in good conscience send young men and women off to die on foreign battlefields.
So we're Catholics here, and I believe you're a baptized Catholic. We saw just on Sunday, and this is so great to see, because people are like, why a Catholic champion or why here? The Holy Father, the Vicar of Christ on earth, has been so strong and outspoken in recent comments talking about what Catholics should be worried about, the innocent people that are being hurt through all this. He mentioned the Catholic priest that was killed, Father Pierre, by an attack in Lebanon. Does it help you to have either members of your faith community or religious leaders speaking up on your behalf? Like, what's it been like to have that support from outside?
It's been huge. I quite frankly didn't think when I submitted my resignation it would get the traction or the attention that you talked about. But having this support from friends, family, but really I've been asked a couple times, was it a hard decision to make? And it's definitely a decision I didn't make lightly. I put a lot of thought into it, and I'd been thinking about it for quite some time. But having faith, I think I was able to hear God's voice. I was able to hear that I was exactly where I was supposed to be, and it was my time to actually take action, which made taking the action incredibly easy, actually, and actually made me feel very liberated and like I'm in the right spot. So,
do you have hope for America? And if you do, why so?
I have a great deal of hope for America. I think this is a very exciting moment. I think the fact that we're seeing people who speak out on behalf of their faith, or who are willing to speak truth to power, and the fact that the people who support them are able to actually have a voice because of the technology, which obviously can be used for a lot of bad. But in the case of connecting like-minded people and getting our word out, that technology is a very powerful weapon in our hand. And also the young people in this country, the young men, the young women, plenty here in this room. I was kind of overwhelmed when I got here tonight, especially by the young folks that came up and wanted to shake my hand. And so I have a lot of hope for the next generation. I think as we head into this midterm season and just as this war advances in the next couple of weeks. I think, like you said in your open, the most important thing we can do is be on our knees and pray. But once we're up from our knees, we need to take action. Our leaders will hear us if we all speak out. We're at a critical juncture in the war in Iran. We need to let our leaders hear that we do not support this war. We do not think there's a vital national security interest. We want to bring our troops home. We want to work towards peace in that region. We do not want 20 plus more years of bloodletting. And then as we head into this next election cycle, demand from everyone, from every political party, go to them, go to your representatives and say, I will not vote for you if you are going to vote for the continuation of these wars overseas. And by no means, I don't expect anybody here to be some kind of a pacifist. If our country is attacked, we will attack. If there's an imminent attack, we will attack. If there's an actual threat, we will attack and we will fight that. However, we cannot continue to go down this path. We have to make that clear to our leaders. That's what gives me hope.
Now that was Joe Kent speaking yesterday. Now I think it's really interesting when you listen to the man talk because, you know, there's a lot of people going out there right now thinking that maybe there's some type of political effort that he's trying to push for. I did see rumors circulating that possibly Tulsi Gabbard was leaving. Again, those were just rumors, nothing confirmed by your staff, of course. But it's always good to hear from Kent. I think he's a very respectable person. Again, the claims being made against him, we're told that there's evidence that he's been leaking. Let's see the evidence. Until then, I'm not believing it. And I don't think you should either. As I detailed and walked you through yesterday, their leaker argument is the consistent theme that I noticed when people are pushed out of the administration. They try to slander their reputation. And I saw, too, one of these pro-Israel accounts. And again, I don't know how many times to say this. I've actually don't give a damn about either side of the argument when it comes to pro-Israel and the pro-Palestine, whatever you want to call it, side at this point. But these pro-Israel accounts on Twitter who continue to go out there and attack anyone who disputes the Israeli narrative, they were jumping all over people who were simply saying things like, no, I'm not buying the Joe Kent narrative right now. They have launched a full-on attack on Joe Kent and trying their very best to go after his character. And I keep watching it, right? Because this is why they do it. This is why they launch investigations. And we're no better than the left if this is what we're going to continue to do. If there's not an ounce of evidence presented that shows that Joe Kent was leaking, we are no better than the left. What do I mean by that? Well, these pro-Israel accounts keep posting things about Joe Kent, and they always include in the first sentence that he's currently under investigation by the FBI, inserting some level of suspicion and trying to create doubt on his character. And there's a reason why they do this. And then I see other podcasters going off, getting angry at Kent. You haven't seen any evidence. How about you calm your emotions down over there, buddy? It's just so unhinged. This conversation's become too emotional. Let's lay out the facts. If there is a claim that he was leaking classified information, show us the proof. Otherwise, I'm not going to listen because I was told the same thing by the guys over at the Pentagon. Dan Caldwell's leaking. Okay. He's going to be charged soon. Okay. Fast forward months later, he's been cleared. No charges. Has a new job within the administration. So you got to watch out for the narrative. I mean, you just continue to do this stuff. I'm so over it. I'm so over it. I'm so over this hate that these people have for anyone who disputes anything. They deem you as a threat and they go after you. They launch these full PR. I'm just done with it. I'm just so done with it. You know, Senator Rand Paul yesterday was asked about the comments in the resignation letter that was handed over by Joe Kent. Take a listen to clip four.
His wife died in combat, so I think he's earned his right to have his opinion and to put it forward. On whether or not Iran was an imminent threat, for 20-some-odd years, people have been saying they're a week away from a nuclear weapon. So I think there is an argument to be made that the imminence of this might have been overstated, that yes, of course, no one wants them to have a nuclear weapon, but how imminent they are, I don't know, 6 months ago, the Trump administration told us they obliterated their nuclear potential. So did they obliterate it, or are they 1 week away? So I think people use arguments to justify actions, but I don't really, I didn't see Iran being 1 week away from nuclear weapon, nor did I see a threat to our actual country from Iran.
Real quick before I let you go, you were never that harsh.
Let's
on
step
the
in on
idea.
That because obviously this is a big issue here. This is a big, I want to see the information laid out. I want to see some proof. We can't just go and declare war in another country without figuring out why are we there in the first place? Why are we there in the first place? And again, I understand, I'm not saying that Iran is not, the regime itself isn't a threat. We all know that they sponsor terrorism, but hey folks, guess what? We have, and we're going to put you, well, we're going to show you a couple clips in a little bit, proving that again, we're the ones funding groups like ISIS. We're the ones funding Boko Haram. I mean, it's endless proof of that. So again, we're going to sit here and talk about the Iranian regime funding terrorism. We do it ourselves. Our CIA does it themselves. Does that warrant another country coming in and attacking us? I mean, the arguments that are being made right now are just a bit ridiculous. I want to see some proof. I want to see why we did this, because it sounds like, again, based on publicly available information, that we were forced into this because Israel was going to act. And this is the reason why people are so fed up with Israel. Again, it's not even, it's not, it has nothing to do with the religious angle to it, although they always love to do that because they want to paint everyone to be anti-Semitic so you can't criticize the government. It has everything to do with the American people wanting to know, why did we just lose 13 service members? What did they die for? You know, we saw too yesterday at the Pentagon, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth give us his press briefing. And during that briefing, he said that, you know, he was telling his kid that they died for you. Well, did they? Because most of us could dispute that. Most of us could dispute that claim. And it's all piling up too. He also made claims too that, the families told him to end this, but like end it, like end the Iranian regime. And there was an exclusive report. I forgot what the outlet was today. I speed read through everything in the morning. And apparently one of the fathers of those 13, of one of the 13 service members said, I never said that to him. I don't know if anyone else said I didn't hear it. It's just really, really infuriating. Really, really infuriating. All right, folks, we got a lot to dive into throughout today's show. Like I mentioned, we have a great lineup of guests. My final time hosting the American Journal. It's been a great 6 months, but you know what? We got to wrap it up. Got to wrap it up. We got today Raw Egg Nationalist joining us in about a couple of minutes. Jeff Clark will also be joining us for his InfoWars debut. He just left the administration, and Jeff Clark's a patriot. I think you guys are going to enjoy the conversation we have with Jeff in just a few moments as well. Hunter Gaylor will also be jumping on with us as well. And my girl, Mel Kay. In the meantime, though, head on over to galaxjonesstore.com. Why? Well, we got a lot going on there. You could possibly also, with your purchases at the shop, we just put up a new one. You could possibly win these two cars. We got the Mustang GT300 and the Ford Raptor. Again, when you make a purchase over at galaxjonesstore.com, you are entering to win. So every dollar you spend is 100 times the entries. That's going on right now. Plus $20,000 in cash you could potentially win as well. It is a great deal. Head on over to the shop, and while you're there, become a VIP member. For $30 a month, you help keep InfoWars up and running, and we're very grateful for that. And as a way of being thankful for you supporting us, well, we're going to extend a discount your way. You're going to get not only store credit, but you're going to get $40 in store credit every month. So we're literally paying you $10 to become a VIP member. I don't know why you wouldn't do it. Stop what you're doing, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and become a VIP member. Also, we'll be taking your calls throughout the show today. You might be on the hold lines a little bit longer than expected. I'm going to be diving in and out of calls, reading into stories. So if you'd like to join the hold lines right now, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539. Again, last show I'm hosting, so I want to make sure we open up those lines and we talk to all of you. So again, 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you want to join the show. And we've got a lot to talk about, like two former FBI agents filing a lawsuit against FBI Director Kash Patel. There's a lot there, so don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm excited you're all here. We open up the phone lines. It is my final day hosting The American Journal, so we'll be taking calls. I'll be giving you guys the opportunity to speak your mind. Again, we're doing this throughout the entire show, so feel free. It's going to be like a fluid show. We're doing a couple of new shows, a couple of new stories, a couple of guests, a couple of phone calls here and there. We'll make it fun. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, 877-789-2539. That's the number to call into the show if you'd like to join us, of course. I want to keep diving into some of the topics, but there's some big news happening over at the Treasury right now. They're taking on the student loans that were given out by the federal government. I don't know why our federal government's even in the federal loan, student loan company business, whatever you want to call it. I believe that was a Barack Obama thing, if I'm not mistaken. Shouldn't be there in the first place. These colleges are scams. Also, it doesn't do us any favors if we're talking about the rising cost of tuition by just giving these kids unlimited amounts of money that they could just take out and then have to pay back later. I didn't need to go to college. I don't know why I did. But anyways, back to the subject matter here. The U.S. Department of Treasury is taking over the student loan program. And that's because President Trump wants him to do them to do just that. And it looks like that's because they are going to be dismantling the U.S. Department of Education as planned. Take a listen.
Isn't it astounding for you to think about the fact that there is $1.7 trillion in this loan portfolio that is larger, you know, than the collective credit card debt in this country and more than double the endowments of most universities? I mean, it's an astounding number. And the fact that it would be housed at education to begin with. If you were thinking about starting a student loan program today, clearly I don't think the first thought would be, let's put that in education. I think we would think about Treasury might be the best place if it were coming into government. And so this agreement that we have signed with Treasury is really a great co-administrative program between Ed and Treasury for loan collection. The Biden administration absolutely continued to confuse it. There were 7 to 9 programs out there, either for repayment or loan forgiveness. And so what we had is a whole system of people not repaying their loans. So now we need to get back into the business of collecting the money that is owed, you know, to the taxpayers of the federal government. And this is going to be an incredible partnership for us to have at Treasury.
It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out again. We're big fans of just tossing out the Department of Education. Obviously, it's a cesspool for liberals. They used to indoctrinate children. Doesn't serve the people of this country any type of service. I think we could all jump aboard with that. I want to keep diving into a couple more stories that we have lined up for you today. Two former FBI agents. I was laughing this morning when I read this report and read the court filing. They filed an anonymous lawsuit in Washington, D.C. It's in federal court right now. They're suing Director Kash Patel, claiming they were fired of retaliation for investigating Donald Trump's alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Remember that? Politically motivated, obviously. BS. Not so that they try to stir up. Well, they're fired up. They're upset about this, obviously. So they filed this lawsuit. The agents who worked on Arctic Frost in the field office over in Washington assert that their termination in late October to early November of last year violated their constitutional rights for free speech and due process. So they're seeking right now to be reinstated. Must be nice. You know, my friends who became whistleblowers, I'm talking about Garrett O'Boyle, Steve Friend, Kyle Serafin, all of these whistleblowers, Robin Gritz too, by the way, they all were tossed out. They were all tossed out. They were put on unpaid suspension, not even fired. And if they wanted to go take up, because they weren't getting income, they had to resign. They had to leave. Must be, at least they're fired. They can go get income. They're claiming, though, in their lawsuit that they actually can't get a job because of how the letter was written, the termination letter was written. And so it's holding them up from seeking employment. Sucks to suck. Sucks to suck. You know, maybe don't be a participant in lawfare. And they're going to say, oh, I had to. It was my job. My supervisor told me to do it. No, you didn't have to do it. You didn't have to do it. You chose to do it. You chose to go after the Trump administration, likely because you were politically aligned with the Biden regime's agenda. But these firings, it doesn't even go far enough. People need to go to prison. I'm done with the firings because now they're able to seek employment opportunities outside of the arena. And it's just like, give them the FBI whistleblower treatment. Starve them out. Starve them out. They had no problem watching Garrett O'Boyle, Steve Friend, Kyle Serafin have to go through that process. They had no problem with it. Now, Robin Gritz came forward years prior to all of them, too, and she's still not made whole. Nah, no one cares. They don't care. They don't care. So you sat back and you watch your colleagues go through all of this, and then you thought, eh, it's okay. I just want to keep a paycheck. You didn't speak up on their behalf. An absolute disgrace, but it's expected. But it's expected. This is the kind of nonsense that they do consistently, though. There's a clip yesterday. I thought this was a very interesting clip. Don't know if you saw this. It's clip 7. And so, you know, I can't just beat up on the FBI all the time. I got to give them a little win. We'll give them a little win here. In clip 7, the FBI director, Kash Patel, announced the update as a whole as to what they're doing right now to rescue children all around the country. Now, children, obviously, are dealing with predators online. That's one of the big ones. but also they are being targeted. We know that there's thousands of missing children that have been trafficked to this country due to the Biden regime. We've given you those latest numbers, but he gave us the latest numbers as to what cases the FBI has found themselves involved in. And that's why my wording on this is very particular. I'll explain why in a second, but let's listen in clip 7.
Under the Trump administration, this FBI has literally had a historic year. We have 112% increase in violent offenders arrested last year alone, a 20% decrease in homicides, 20% decrease in robberies. We have disrupted 1,800 criminal gangs. That's a 210% increase. We've seized enough fentanyl to kill 178 million Americans. That's a 31% increase. We have gone after the most vulnerable in our society, protecting children, a 490% increase in arrest on those that prey on our children online. We have located, found, and identified 6,200 missing kids. That's a 30% increase. We have dismantled and taken down 1,700 child predators. That's a 17% increase. And those that wish to traffic our young American citizens and women, 300 human traffickers have been arrested. That's a 15% increase. And seven of the FBI's top 10 most wanted fugitives in the world have been apprehended in the last 13 months. To put that into perspective, there was 4 in the prior 4 years. So this FBI under President Trump is fully stocked to get after every single fight we have. And these are just some of the statistics. So I thank you for letting me highlight those.
Yeah, we like those numbers, obviously. We're talking about a very low bar that was set by the Biden regime, though. I mean, they weren't making any of these major arrests. They were utilizing the FBI's or personal police force. And so keep in the back of your minds, folks, that when we're talking about going after and arresting human traffickers, 300 human traffickers is a great starting point, but it's nowhere near the amount that it should be at. Why? Well, because over, 300 and I think the original number is 425,000 missing children, migrant children, they were shuffled over to human traffickers. And so where are those people? How many of those people have been held accountable? Well, I've asked the DOJ for some kind of update in regards to all of that. DOJ sent me over a couple of cases. I asked for a roundabout stat. I want to know exactly how many as a whole have you prosecuted. DOJ won't cough up those numbers, though. They also told me they were getting a call from me to tell me about it, but never did. Never did. It's one of the many layers to all of this, folks. Also keep in mind the reason why I'm very particular with my wording on this case is because Steve Friend does a great job at outlining for the American people that the FBI consistently will go out there and they will, and Steve Friend's an FBI whistleblower, will insert themselves into local law enforcement investigations and then claim that they were the ones who rounded up a pedo. They take credit for it. But they don't talk about how at the very beginning of all of it, it started because, it started because local law enforcement was doing its work and not the FBI. So there's that. I want to get to this next clip. This one was interesting. So Scott Perry, a congressman, Scott Perry, he's one of the individuals who also had his phone seized. You might remember that during the Arctic Frost shakedown. But in clip 8, you're going to hear Scott Perry outline how we, American taxpayers, were funding Islamic terror groups like Boko Haram. Now, as many of you guys know, that's the group that is going around still to this day, Africa, and is killing, slaughtering, raping children, women, and men. They're the ones very much doing this against Christians mainly, of course. But they're Islamic terrorists, and we are funding them. Take a listen to clip 8.
Who gets some of that money? Does that name ring a bell to anybody in the room? Because your money, $697 million annually, plus the shipments of cash funds madrasas, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, ISIS Khorasan, terrorist training camps. That's what it's funding. If you think that the program under Operation Enduring Sentinel entitled Women's Scholarship Endowment, which receives $60 million annually, or the Young Women Lead, which gets about $5 million annually, is going to women who, by the way, if you read the Inspector General's report, is telling you that the Taliban does not allow women to speak in public. Yet somehow you're believing, and American people are supposed to believe, that this money is going for the betterment of the women in Afghanistan. It is not. You are funding terrorism, and it's coming through USAID. And it's not just Afghanistan, because Pakistan's right next door. USAID spent $840 million in the last 20 years on Pakistan's education-related program. It includes $136 million to build 120 schools of which there is zero evidence that any ever were built. Why would there be any evidence? The inspector general can't get in to see them. But you know what? We doubled down and spent $20 million from USAID to create educational television programs for children unable to attend the physical school.
All right. Does this all sound a little familiar? Maybe you're thinking you're getting like 2014 vibes, Alex Jones. Well, Alex was trying to warn you about how your taxpayer dollars was being utilized to promote and help these Islamic terror groups like Boko Haram, and it's quite the throwback. And thanks to Mike Benz, we actually have the tape. Take a listen.
I have held my tongue on Boko Haram for about a week since this broke, as I cogitated on it. And as I did research, and there are thousands of points that go into this, literally thousands of points. So I tend to get caught up trying to give you all my data points of why I'm telling you something before I ever get to what I'm going to say. But let me just say this. We know Boko Haram is working for Western intelligence agencies as a central Western or Western central destabilization force, just like they had PSYOPs to overthrow the Ukrainian government that were State Department funded on record. They would say in the videos, I'm grassroots. I'm filming this myself. No one told me to do it. And then it would end up, it was an actress funded publicly by the State Department. That's how dumb they think you are. So I knew Boko Haram or Boko Haram was a double, triple agent operation because the majority are Christian and animist. If you add those two groups together in Nigeria, Africa's most populous country, like 300 million people or something now, almost. I mean, this is incredible. And that they're being used as a pretext to basically militarize the central government that, again, is Christian slash animist or earth worship group. And that they're playing that group off against them so that Nigeria will take Western aid and more IMF World Bank funding. And so they can be controlled by the globalists. It's just like they brought AFRICOM the last few years into Africa. They took out Libya, put Al-Qaeda in. The federal government admitted last week that, oh, my gosh, it was a total screw-up taking out Gaddafi. It's horrible there now. No colleges. The women are having burqas put on their heads. And Al-Qaeda is using it to launch attacks all over Africa. It was a perfect military base for clandestine Al-Qaeda operations in Libya. That was the plan. Now the U.S. military and the French military in Ivory Coast and North Africa, everywhere else, can come in and invade. And they just say on the news it's to fight Al-Qaeda. But even the president of the Ivory Coast earlier this year said, no, it is white mercenaries taking over the oil rigs. And then NATO shows up with France to kick them out and takes the nation's oil rigs. And the presidential palace blows up. You know, it was in a couple of those. Ivory Coast is one country. There's a couple others. So Sierra Leone, you name it. I mean, it's so much of this is going on, I can't even keep track of it. And I know the countries and the players in Guyana and all the rest of it. I mean, it's just full-out war in Africa. And the governments even get it. These are pro-Western governments that are being double-crossed, by the way. These are Christians and tribalist, animist, you name it. They're not even Muslims. And they're in the news. You can pull it up, saying this is staged. They run the radical Muslims. So I wanted to go over some of this to explain what's happening. But basically, it's just a smokescreen. Yeah, there's the global research headline. CIA covert ops in Nigeria, fertile ground for U.S.-sponsored balkanization. And that's an article from, 2 days ago. They are for destabilization, balkanization, crises, so the UN, NATO, and the globalists and AFRICOM can come in then with Marshall plans for Europe, Marshall plans for Africa, Marshall plans for Pakistan. I mean, why did the U.S. government fly 44,000 Taliban al-Qaeda leaders and top military and al-Qaeda in the airlift of evil 2 months after the war started in 2001? Why did they fly them out in November, started in September? Why do they fly them out and give them weapons and gold? also untraceable gold to buy more weapons to then attack and destabilize and infiltrate the government of Pakistan. But just here's one example today on this from Breitbart. Hillary Clinton protested designation of Boko Haram as terrorist group. While Secretary of State Hillary Clinton fought hard against officially designating the Islamists of Boko Haram as a terror group, placing her in the camp of far leftist group MoveOn.org. They're not far left, folks. George Soros was a Nazi collaborator. He funds MoveOn. They have to cover every area of the chessboard. They have to be the liberal opposition, so no real opposition to war forms. It's like The Thing, the 1980s John Carpenter film. It plans to take over the whole world, ladies and gentlemen, and it will play the part of every group. That's why it keeps winning. Hillary Clinton is an ultra-wicked, anti-human, garbage, a psychopathic demon, a full-spectrum dominance worm. But right here, why do you think you saw Michelle Obama last week sickeningly saying bring back her girls with a look? It gives them moral high ground. Look, we're fighting radical Islam. Look, we care about women's rights. Meanwhile, the group is globalist run. And they're going to use it to invade all of Africa to, quote, hunt down anybody they want, bypassing radical Muslims and going right at the Christians. They kill all over Africa, just like the UN did in 94 in Rwanda. That wasn't a UN screw up. I mean, and everybody goes, look at Michelle. She's so upset. This is sick. Boko Haram in the north is being given globalist aid to break that country in two and destabilize all of Western Africa.
By the way, folks, Boko Haram, as you just heard, Boko Haram, you just heard Alex say, the money just keeps stacking up on everything Alex is right about. But that photo, and I can't stop talking about it. I learned this from a Lara Logan documentary that she did for Fox News, Fox Nation. They knew where those kids were. They knew where those girls were. Obama knew where those girls were, and he didn't rescue them. He didn't make any effort to try to rescue them. And many of them were used as suicide bombers. Remember that? By the way, the sign where she's holding up, this is what I'm referring to there, just to give you background. Alex had it up. They used those girls. They raped them. They used them as suicide bombers. They made them their sex slaves. They killed a lot of them. I mean, we're talking about animals here. But again, when we sit here and justify going after other countries that fund Islamic terrorism, we've funded our own, and we continue to do so, by the way. This legislation has been pushed through. I think it's stalled in the Senate. Tim Burchett is trying his very best to get this going, but unfortunately not going to happen. Why? Because, well, our politicians want to keep funding the Taliban, and they don't care. There's no checks and balances. There's not going after these people that continue to allow this to happen. Our federal government, under a Republican majority, is funding the Taliban still. And apparently it's controversial to cut off the funding. Oh, no, we're just trying to help Afghanistan out. No, it never goes to those causes. We are trying to build up Islamic terrorists. And we go, we have an increase of terrorism threat here in the homeland. They use it as an excuse to pull away your rights. It's an absolute disgrace, but it's expected. I want to pivot for a second. There was also an MSNBC report that came out, also known as MS Now. It's the rebranding effort, so the American people could be fooled into thinking that this is a legitimate news organization. But this, they actually had a good one. You know, if you put out a bunch of nonsense all day, you got to get at least one news story right. And this is a very important story. It has to do with Jeffrey Epstein, why the FBI didn't go and pull back a lot of the evidence that it actually had seen firsthand when they were raiding his home. Surprise, surprise. Take a listen.
Now take reporting about one of them, Richard Kahn. He was a longtime accountant. Now Congress grilled him as well. He was previously questioned by the FBI about the contents of this safe. Take a good look, because the BBC has reported, based again on a lot of the new information we're getting, that when the FBI originally raided Epstein's New York mansion back in 2019, the very day he was arrested, agents forced open the safe you just saw, and they found valuables like diamonds and cash, but they also found binders of CDs and hard drives. Now stay with me here, because it gets interesting. There was an issue allegedly with the warrant, and so they didn't leave with all the items. Then they returned with a new warrant, The BBC notes that then the safe had been emptied while they were gone. The FBI documents, including the newly released Epstein files, give more color to this. Now, Kahn then told the mansion staff, pack up two suitcases with the contents of that safe that he was going to take to his home, according to the FBI. That could allegedly include things like CDs and hard drives, which makes you wonder, what did this sex trafficker want with CDs in his safe? After the FBI spoke to Kahn's then lawyer, he agreed to hand over those suitcases, allegedly untouched. He didn't want agents coming to his house, though, and declined to say who told him to remove the items. This is when your accountants need
a... you know what they normally do when there's a situation like this? The FBI just usually will let someone supervise and just hang over and watch it while they go fix the paperwork, while they go get the warrant that they need. Because you don't want evidence to be disposed of, right? So you wouldn't just walk away and hope for the best when you come back. No. If you're a legitimate law enforcement agency who needs a warrant, you'd hold off, you'd wait, you'd have someone just stand over it and watch it for a couple of hours, and you get that warrant. I mean, it's judges that are up throughout the night. There's no reason for them not to be able to do that. But surprise, surprise, it all went missing. Such a shame. Such a shame. They were almost going to catch him. People are such scumbags. Folks, we're taking your calls throughout today's show. So if you're on hold, stay put. It might be a little bit longer than normal, but it's my final show. So do me a solid. Wait right there. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll be taking calls in about 5 minutes. I'll start diving into some of them. Then I'm going to talk to Jeff Clark. Then I'll take more calls. We'll just kind of bounce around for a little bit. And we'll do that for about an hour. So I look forward to doing that. Jeff Clark joining the show in the second hour of the program. It's really cool because, number one, Jeff hasn't been on InfoWars yet. This will be his big debut, his InfoWars debut. He just left the administration just a few days ago. And I've got a lot to ask him about. I want to know what was happening behind the scenes, Jeff. We'll see if he spills the beans on that one. And ask him about the lawfare as well. How do we go after these people? Because Jeff, obviously, is someone who has felt the ramifications of the Biden lawfare system. He had his home raided. You may have seen it. He was literally dragged out of his home in the middle of the morning, very early hours of the morning, I should say. And they tried to embarrass him. They posted an image, a still image of Jeff in his boxers outside of his home. I said, there's nothing to be embarrassed of, Jeff. These people are coming after you because you're the best at what you do. And so this man has been put through the ringer. It'll be an honor to have him on the show and to talk all through the lawfare stuff, the DHS stuff that's going on right now, get some insight on what's going on, because there's also a Wall Street Journal report that I have fact-checked, and it's actually true. We'll break that to you now about mass deportations not working out right now. So there's a lot to dive into. Again, 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you want to join the show. I see we've got our regulars on hold. Don't go anywhere. More discuss in just a moment.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. We wanted to take this next, 4 minutes and give it over to one of our callers. Neo, the paratrooper, is on hold right now, and he'd like to talk about military bases, it looks like. So welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm a little worried. I see patterns. I smell fish. And when I smell fish, I go fishing to see what I can catch, and I caught onto a pattern. Okay.
Let's hear it.
And this is not a shot at Benny. Benny's doing an awesome job. If you're here with this, Benny, keep doing the hard work. But right around the time Benny dropped that Trump was going to come out with UFO files, I noticed that the same time, if you go to the Patrick Humphrey show on YouTube, Shepherd Air Force Base and MacDill Air Force Base were both receiving bomb threats. I haven't found out which base, but one of these bases, the MP stopped the laundry truck at the front gate. And it was loaded with explosives. Now, what the pattern I'm seeing is the radical Islamic communist cabal that we're fighting to withstand, to rebel. What they're doing is they're using certain moves that our administration is, you know, coming out to tell us about and what's going on. They're using that as a distraction to conduct attacks. And I'm generally worried that what they're trying to do is cripple our air defense system at home, cripple our border patrol and defense at home, and cripple our defense for the coastline. It's getting very tricky out here, folks. You need to be paying attention, and most importantly, you need to be reading your Bible.
Neo, I have a question for you. What story are you citing? You said Benny Johnson released a story. I'm trying to find it right now. I just can't find it right now. What were you
referring to? Let me go back to my files here. It says President Trump is about to reveal aliens. We have proof. It was a day ago.
And you said who released that report? We're trying to find it right now.
So the alien thing was Benny Johnson. It was a day ago.
Okay.
And the bomb threat thing was from the Patrick Humphrey show on YouTube the same day. Right around the same time they both dropped, which was wild.
I'm scrubbing. I'm looking. I know we're looking in the control room, too.
It's Benny Johnson's videos, and you scroll down. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Go to the 10th video, and you should find it.
Okay. We're on it. We're looking into it. Yeah, thank you for putting it on our radar. No, that's not much. I haven't heard anything of it yet. I try my best to pay attention to everything, but we're still scrolling. I'm still looking. You know, Benny Johnson's like a machine. He puts out like tons and tons of content. So even though I've only made it back to what, the 18th. So you said this is the 19th. He put it out yesterday.
And the thing is I think had you noticed this, you would have been all over it. I don't think you were like doing anything wrong. You keep doing the hard work you're doing too, man.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I mean, listen, it's a crazy news cycle, Neo. I mean, literally I'm trying to scrub through everything. And I joke because I started the show waking up at 4 a.m. to prep, and now it's like 3:30, and like now it's like 3:15, 3, because there's just so much out there, and it's, you know, you don't want to like lose sight of things in the news cycle, which is very easy to do. But I'm glad you put it on our radar. We'll look into it, and we appreciate you calling into the show. And I know you've called in often, so we greatly appreciate your time, and thank you for doing that, because I know you wait, and we're appreciative of that. So thank you, Neo, for calling in. As always, we appreciate it. All right, folks, we're keeping it going. If you want to join the show, number 877-789-2539. My buddy, Jeff Clark, is joining the show. Very first time here on InfoWars. He's making his big debut, and it's an honor to have him on. He's a patriot. He's fought very, very hard for, against the lawfare in this country, which is something we'll dive into in a little bit. But he's fought very, very hard, for this country. And, you know, we can't thank him enough, and it's going to be such an honor to have him on the program today to talk through a lot of the issues that are currently ongoing. I know a lot of you are maybe feeling a little down about this current administration. I'm going to talk to Jeff about just that. We keep hearing reports that mass deportations isn't happening. We keep hearing reports that the president's distancing himself from his original agenda plan. We're going to talk to Jeff a little bit. If you're looking for a sense of optimism, this is a man who obviously just left the administration days ago. So we look forward to hearing from him. And he took on a very important role, which I'm also excited to talk to him about. So Jeff Clark joining us in a few minutes. And then we'll be diving into your calls right after Jeff. So again, 877-789-2539. I'm going to try my best to get through all the callers that are on hold for the second part of this hour. So again, if you're on hold, stay put. We'll be right back.
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of T-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us for the second hour of the program. A lot happening over here. We've got a very big guest joining the show to make his InfoWars debut, and I'm very excited about that. But there's a new story that I wanted to get you read in on regarding claims that the president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, is distancing himself from that mass deportation campaign promise. According to the Wall Street Journal, the president has told his inner circle, including Melania Trump, that mass deportation policies have gone too far and that voters dislike the term mass deportation. Now, that's a very interesting changeover, because I know many of you at home, we voted for President Trump because we wanted mass deportation. It was very, very popular. And so to hear the change is quite concerning. Joining me to discuss is Jeff Clark. He just days ago left the Trump administration to take on a new position, which we're very honored to have him on to talk about. He's the VIP litigation for the Oversight Project during his time over with the Trump administration. By the way, he did serve under two Trump administrations. He's the acting OIRA administrator. And then when he was over in the first term over the Trump administration, which I don't even know how he did it, but he was the double DOJ assistant attorney general under President Trump's first term. And he joins us now. Jeff, thank you for being here. It is your very first InfoWars debut interview. So it's an honor to have you on the show, my friend. We wanted to get into a little bit of the behind the scenes take on all of this. You know, we just saw the report that came out today from the Wall Street Journal, and it says that the president is distancing himself from the mass deportations commitment that he laid out during the campaign trail. Now, obviously, it's been a bit of a PR hiccup, and we know we talked about it yesterday, actually, about the DHS scandal that's going on right now. There's allegations that there may have been some type of pay-to-play scheme. And again, these are just allegations. They have not been yet proven. Between the DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, who's now stepping away from that position, and she's been reassigned, and potentially Corey Lewandowski involved in as well. So there's a lot there. But what do you make of the recent reports? Because even my DHS sources are telling me that this administration is stepping away from its mass deportation commitment.
Well, Brianna, let me first say I'm pleased to join you on your final day, which, as I also, if my calendar is correct, that I keep up in my office, it's the first day of spring. So it's an auspicious day for change, I guess. Look, I'm a lawyer, as you know, and I consider those confidences to be sacred trust. So I'm not going to be spilling any beans about internal deliberations or the like. Let me just react now that I'm a private citizen again as of it was on March 4th when I left the administration, about my reaction to the idea that there should be a softening of mass deportation policy. I don't think there should be any such softening. I think that's what the president ran on. I think that attracted flocks, hordes of people to vote for him. I think that if he's hearing political advice, and it has to be political advice, that it's going to hurt him in the midterms if he doesn't shift and tack to the center and move away from mass deportation. I think that is terrible political advice. I think that the people want to see this from all walks of life, and this is why President Trump attracted voters who were non-traditional for the Republican Party. He attracted voters who've been screwed over, essentially, by deindustrialization policies, by policies of importing new workers, and the president pushed back on that hard. He promised to build the wall. He promised to deport the millions of people who invaded our country under the crazy open borders approach of Joe Biden and Mayorkas. These were true, I think, treasonous acts against the country and complete derogation of the laws that Congress had passed to control immigration flows and to make sure that they're measured and they give time for anyone who's legally admitted to the country to assimilate. Instead, we just get millions of people who are being paid, who are being assisted by various left-wing NGOs and international groups to come into the country. Then they got, special computer apps to help them get in. They got, given dates to return to immigration court. That was a joke. I mean, the president railed against all of those things. And I think the American people want to see results on that. And so, to the extent anyone's listening to me out there inside the administration, mm-hmm. This is a key issue. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be addressed. And, what happened in Minnesota should not cause a major course correction. Just yesterday, actually, at the Oversight Project, which I've joined as a vice president, we put out information we got showing that this Preddy character who died, who they were trying to canonize as a kind of successor George Floyd, but in the immigration area, is not all he's cracked up to be. He's not this hero nurse. Instead, he was wheeling seriously ill patients, coming out of surgery outside in six degree wind chill conditions, like in their hospital gown. So, this isn't some guy you should consider to be a great humanitarian. And we've seen him, just rail at the ICE agents. He's a left wing activist. I'm sure he was probably getting some form of compensation. He's not a hero, Brianna. And I think the American people want to see lawlessness end. And part of that lawlessness is the organized lawlessness of bringing over millions of people and just turning a blind eye to them living into our country illegally.
Yeah, well, that's the big problem that so many patriots have in this country right now. I mean, we love this country, and we watch what happened over these last 4 years. We've imported people from countries that don't want to assimilate and that do not agree with how we live in here in the West. And so, communities all across the country, and specifically in the Midwest, which was so shocking to me over these last few years traveling around, specific communities, cities, that normally you wouldn't find a massive amount of like a Haitian demographic in these small towns, especially Ohio. When I was doing a report for Stephen Crowder's show, I was very surprised how the demographics have changed over there when I was visiting. I think this was back in 2024. There's been a massive, massive shift. And so not to carry through with mass deportations would be a real big, big issue for Americans, because this was all strategic. This was all intentionally done. These people were put into these areas intentionally to change the voting demographic. And that's why Democrats were so persistent in doing this. I mean, they literally flew these people into our country and put them in these areas strategically. And I think that's a real key point here. One of your colleagues, Mike Howell, who we have on the show actually quite often, just put up a little op-ed over at Blaze Media, which we love the Blaze over here. They do great work. Mike did a great job at outlining what Mark Wayne Mullins, the senator who's been nominated to replace Kristi Noem, should be doing moving forward, though, to kind of regain the trust and laminate the president's legacy in all of this. What do you make of what Mullins should be doing if he does get confirmed? Because he just made his way through the first phase of all of this. So it's looking promising for Mullins to get confirmed for this position.
Right. Well, I mean, typically the Senate confirms its own, which is part of the kind of nomination theory for who you put in to the cabinet in many instances. And look, I think that given some of the signals he's been sending, he needs to toughen up and realize that this was a major issue that allowed the president to carry the 2024 election in a major way. It still polls as incredibly popular. I don't believe, some polling I've seen that I think is being cooked to the mm-hmm. contrary. That's part of the problem with a lot of polling is that it can be stacked. I think, like Jesus said, and we're closing on Easter here, right? You will know them by their fruits.
Mm-hmm.
You know polls and pollsters by whether their predictions, indications are putting their finger on the pulse of the American people come true or not. And that's the acid test. And I don't think people have changed from where they were in 2024. I do think that there were some episodes that the left did their best of getting tremendous media coverage for it. They always do that. They've sent their protesters in to make things very difficult for the administration to enforce the immigration laws, even against the so-called worst of the worst. But what you got to do in response to that is recognize that, it's never going to be easy. No one should have thought that President Trump could walk in and push a button and then millions of people would be instantly deported. There was a whole infrastructure that needed to get ramped back up. He's facing unprecedented legal challenges. The left has poured so much money into all of these, lawfare by another name shops that just go in and try to file a habeas petition at the drop of a hat to keep someone who's here illegally here, and on and on and on. So, it's a fight, but it's an issue worth fighting. And I think that, future Secretary Mullins, if he is fortunate enough to be confirmed, needs to act to enforce the laws that Congress passed and that President Trump campaigned on enforcing vigorously.
Yeah, well, we're hoping for that, Jeff, and we're going to keep our eye on that. That's something that the American people will create a lot of pressure about because I think they really want that to take place. I want to pivot a little bit to Fulton County because for our audience, if they're unfamiliar, I mean, you were one of the co-defendants who was targeted with President Donald J. Trump in that big Fulton County shakedown, and it was absolutely ridiculous. They were trying to cook up a RICO case when they had absolutely nothing to go off of. It's one of the many things that are still dragging on right now in the legal system because obviously there needs to be accountability here. But we heard yesterday from DNI Tulsi Gabbard, and she's been question as to why she was present when Fulton County's one of their election centers was raided by the FBI. Now, obviously, this falls under her national intelligence division that they do oversee the elections as well. But for some reason, Democrats think it's very controversial that she was present for all of this. Let's take a listen.
Her election security responsibilities to ensure the integrity of our elections. I want to correct one of your statements that you've made multiple times, which is false. I did not participate in a law enforcement activity, nor would I, because that does not exist within my authorities.
You were present on the scene. Are the photos of you on the scene false?
I was at Fulton County, sir, at the request of the president, and to work with the FBI to observe this action that had long been awaited. I was not aware of what was in the warrant or was not in the warrant.
And what was the president's specific request for you to go to? What was the specific request that was made by the president for you to show up in Fulton County?
To go and observe the FBI's activities on this issue.
So why?
When you look at the fort, your question, sir.
Do you have the answer why the president was knowing about this affidavit before it was even served?
I'm not aware that the president knew about an affidavit before it was served.
Then why was he sending you to Fulton County?
This occurred the day that the FBI had it approved, their warrant approved by a local judge, and they began to execute this. To address your question, sir, about the foreign nexus question.
All right, let's step in on this. Jeff, your reaction, because I don't understand why there's so much outrage about Tulsi being present for all of this. This falls under her title. I mean, this is something that she's supposed to be focused on. She's supposed to be focused on the election, so I don't understand the big outrage in all of this.
Yeah, let me take you back to 2020. So there was an executive order issued by President Obama, and then President Trump continued it about the whole issue of potential or actual foreign election interference. So a report was called for. If I'm remembering correctly, the due date for that report was something like December 18th, 2020. And that report never arrived on time. It was slow walked by the intelligence community that predated Tulsi Gabbard coming in to head it up. And indeed, it was not issued until either just before President Trump left office or just after. And it indicated that, well, first of all, I should say the careerists in the intelligence agencies said there was no significant foreign election interference. But there were essentially two dissents from that view. One was the ODNI director at the time, John Ratcliffe, said that there was evidence of foreign election interference that was at least as significant as happened in 2016. And you'll remember that, you know, the Democrats went crazy about, you know, purported Russian interference back in 2016. And a lot of it was based on the fact that they were engaged in social media operations that were actually relatively small in terms of the amount of funding dedicated to them. What happened in 2020, though, was that there were actual attempts to probe into election databases, voter rolls and the like, and that's discussed in the report. So, Ratcliffe dissented from the view. Now, I think it's very odd. Why is the head of the intelligence community dissenting from what the intelligence community says? That, to me, is an indication that they didn't have a handle on the intelligence community. But there was also another dissent by the ombudsman, who also thought that the majority of the intelligence community were underplaying what had happened. And one of the actors that was involved was not just China, but also Iran. And so there were efforts to get into the U.S. Election system, and that was just pushed off until after the election was largely a done deal in 2020, and President Trump needed to fly away from the White House on January 20th, and Joe Biden came in. And I think that was all very strategic, because they recognized that if the American people knew what John Ratcliffe and the ombudsman were saying in terms of what had happened in 2020 with foreign nations, that they would have gotten outraged and they would have demanded more investigation. And so President Trump knows these things. President Trump put Tulsi Gabbard in. And of course, you know, you can try to talk about the line between domestic and foreign, but it's obvious that if our domestic elections are being corrupted in some form by foreign interference, that that is a serious issue that the Director of National Intelligence, who's now Tulsi Gabbard, should be involved in. And so the fact that she was on site as an observer and she was hearing, you know, firsthand about what was happening as the warrant was being executed, that is not remarkable at all. And the fact that the Democrats can get away with these kinds of arguments that, it's an intrusion into law enforcement practice by an intelligence official, you know, no, it's not. It's an indication of the fact that there are foreign actors who are trying to intrude into our domestic system, and that has to be policed both in terms of stopping them getting in and policed in terms of the domestic impacts of that. So the FBI does the latter. She does the former. And the fact that they're cooperating, that's totally unremarkable, Brianna.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that they are trying their best to create outrage and to pretend like this shouldn't be investigated either, Jeff, it goes to show me, and this is in my opinion personally, that they're aware of what was going on this whole time, and that they just want to hide the truth from the American people. And the fact that after the 2020 elections, it was the same talking point that this was the safest, most secure election we've ever had, without looking into anything, what was the biggest red flag for me, Jeff. So it's one of the most important things is to look into all of this. And, you know, I want to bring this back to what your new role is right now over the Oversight Project, because, you know, the Oversight Project does great work. You guys are one of the very few that are going out there and actually pushing back and demanding accountability, and you outlined plans on how we get to that point, which I truly do appreciate. But now, as you know, over there, Vice President, what is it that you guys are focused on the most? Because Americans are getting really fed up when it comes to the lawfare not going, let's just say, people not being held accountable for the lawfare that took place over the last 4 years. So what are your plans with the Oversight Project to make sure those people are held accountable?
Well, one of the major things that we're working on is obviously the deportation issue, but we've covered that already. Mm-hmm. You put your finger on a second issue, which is that we will be working on the issue of lawfare. We have existing work on lawfare. We're going to expand it. We're going to look to take it offensive, not offensive in the sense of we're going to create, BS, know their problems for lawyers on the left to have to defend their bar licenses or we're going to, you know, engineer some other over-enforcement action or overreaction like January 6th was. No, there's a lot of nefariousness in terms of what happened during the Biden administration. There's a lot of nefariousness in terms of what is happening with these groups. I mean, in Norm Eisen and the entire, I've coined this term, which I'm sure you've seen on my X feed, mm-hmm. of journo lawfare operators. So there are these people who, they have TV shows on the net or podcasts, or they appear on MS Now or before MSNBC, and they just constantly gin up fake narratives against lawyers. And, you know, this activity looks very conspiratorial to me. It looks like it's designed to pressure people into either not standing up for their own free speech rights, mm-hmm. or trying to penalize them when they do their jobs like they tried to do to me inside the Trump administration because I wanted to investigate. And what did I want to investigate, Brianna, to go back to your last topic? I wanted to investigate election irregularities in Fulton mm-hmm. County. So the warrant that was executed there is exactly what I wanted to do back in 2020. And officials who were running the department at the time, the acting attorney general and the so-called PAYDAG, his number two at the time, they did not want to do any further investigations of Fulton County. They said that they had done all the investigations that needed to be done, but actually at my bar trial, Brianna, mm-hmm. they admitted that they did not investigate all of the testimony that came out from Georgia State Senator Ligon. He had, you know, hundreds of affidavits. He had live testimony of all sorts of things going wrong in Fulton County and base corruption. Mm-hmm. And the Justice Department at that time, based on who was leading it, did not investigate that. And so President Trump turned that around. The Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General turned that around, and they got a warrant, and they've seized the ballots. And it's also my understanding, I know you've had him on the program, my own personal lawyer, Harry McDougald, he tells me that there are boxes that they didn't find. So there's still, you know, lots of question marks about this, but it's clear that as a basic investigatory step, you need to look at those ballots in Fulton County. It's amazing to me that 4+ years have gone by and we've only recently got them. And the left, led by Norm Eisen again, led by Abby Lowell, they're desperately trying to claw those documents back, even though the county had represented that they wanted to destroy the ballots. So, you know, they didn't have any use for them if they could get rid of them and get rid of the evidence. But as soon as the feds want the evidence, oh, then magically they want it back and they want to keep it. They want to hoard it. And what does that tell you? It tells you that probably where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, that's the key point in all of this. And they fought so aggressively hard, too. They still are fighting to get those boxes back. And, you know, we hope that we could get to the bottom of all of this. What happened in Fulton County is unacceptable. But it doesn't end now. Like, there needs to be people held accountable for what happened there. And I've played the video tons of times. I mean, thousands of signed affidavits were brought to the governor's office. I was there. I literally was filming from inside the governor's office as he was being given these signed affidavits. We're just put together by no major groups, no NGOs, concerned citizens in Georgia who saw voter irregularities. They handed those signed affidavits over to the governor's office. And I mean, this is what, maybe 3 years ago when I was there, it was me and Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell was broadcasting outside, and I keep following up, and there were no actual updates. The last I checked a year ago on that investigation, so I don't even know if it's called an investigation. There was no updates, though, after we dropped off those signed affidavits as to what happened there. So it's unacceptable, and it definitely needs to be looked into. And, Jeff, that's what we look forward to doing. But, Jeff, I'm so excited for you over at the Oversight Project. I know you're going to do great work, and you're going to hold people accountable. You're going to start calling it out, and we're going to get to a point where – you know, they can't just look the other way on any of this. And you guys do great work for the Oversight Project. So this is going to be a good one for you, Jeff. Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor, of course, to have you on the program.
Thanks a lot, Brianna. And thanks and all the best wishes in your next endeavors now that, you know, you're putting down the heavy baton of a 3-hour show in the mornings.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure whatever we do next, we're building up a news division, so it's probably going to get even worse for me when it comes to my sleep schedule. So we'll see how that all goes. Jeff Clark, thank you as always. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brianna.
All right, folks. Jeff Clark, as he just detailed for you guys, he's a target in the lawfare battle. So if you'd like to help him out, again, they went after him. We played the clip. before of Mike Caputo talking about what happened to him financially. Jeff could use your support, so head on over to GiveSendGo and donate to his legal fund because he's still fighting D.C. bar. Jeff Clark Legal Defense is where you do just that again. Jeff Clark Legal Defense is where you do just that again. He's also pending in Fulton County, so still fighting all of that. So please go and consider donating today. We'll be right back with breaking news in a moment.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where they put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chamber's on. Medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallthefuelstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at theallthefuelstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theallergystore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. The last show that I'll be hosting for the American Journal. So I figured, you know what? Let's just give the platform away right now. Let's just do a segment where We just hear from you, the people. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We're going to try to go through the whole list. I'm just going to keep going down the list as quick as I can. Make sure we get everyone in. A lot of callers. But first up is my good friend, Bill, who is the founder of the Loomer Fan Club, calling in from Wisconsin. Bill, first off, I hope it's warm by you. What's going on?
Well, Brianna, it is first day of spring, 50 degrees in Wisconsin.
Well, heat wave, Bill.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. Thanks. And wow, what a call. So your last day, my last call into your show. Okay. Aww. So we're all having our last today. But it is, like your other caller said, first day of spring.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. Help me out with my topic. My topic today is, so I'm going to go out with a bang, Brianna.
I guess those going after Catholics that we're referring to today.
Yeah, I'm sick of the anti-Catholicism. Mm-hmm. That's my new word, anti-Catholicism.
I was waiting for you to say it.
Yeah. Well, Bill, why do you get to talk about this topic? Well, I'm Catholic, Roman Catholic, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, baptized, first confession, first communion, confirmation, lector at mass, extraordinary minister, parish council, festival committee. I ran the Lenten fish fry for 11 years, the big commercial kitchen at the church. Ran that for 11 years. We'd put out 500 fish fries during Lent every Friday in 90 minutes, Brianna. So my cooking cred.
You can cook, apparently, Bill.
I can cook, Brianna. That's why I appreciate what you do.
Thank
and then
you.
Top all that off, 5 years jail ministry from the church.
Oh, that's cool.
It's the coolest thing of all these things. What we would do, I had a partner. It was on Thursdays. We'd go down in the evening, stop at church on the way, go to the rectory, pick up the host, go up, pick up the host, and we had a carrier. The host is the body of Christ. Bring that to the inmates at the local Racine County Jail. So you'd go up into the jail, and there was a pod in the middle of all the cells. It was a glass pod where we would meet. And whoever wanted to come in and you know, read the Bible with us, they could come into the pod, get 5, 6, 7, 8 guys in there, me and my partner, in this glass pod, all the other men watching what we're doing. What we would do is we would read the Bible, the readings that we did last Sunday in Mass. What Catholics do is every Sunday you go through the different readings, and at a certain period of time, you've rotated through the whole Bible. So we would just do that. And a little side topic, we would have the guys read too. And one of the reasons I found out there that there's a rotating door on the jails is because we found out a lot of these guys could barely read, Brown. I was pretty sad. But defending Catholics, I was forced to defend Catholics there, which was my first time. You know, I was kind of in the Catholic pod. But we were meeting any faith guys that wanted to come in, and a lot of people want to bash Catholics. But I want to remind people, when I was young, we had all these Catholic churches, all these Catholic schools, St. Mark's, Holy Rosary, Mount Carmel, St. James, St. Peter. You want to know something? Society was way better back then. And look what the Catholics did for the education, okay? So I'm sick of people bashing Catholics. Let me get to the point a little bit. Catholics are not a monolith. The other thing that's going, oh, you're not a real Catholic. 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 Catholics are not a monolith. Here's the comparison. Jews are not a monolith. Ashkenazi Jews, Hasidic Jews, religious Jews, self-proclaimed non-religious Jews, they all get the latitude of being a Jew and everything that comes with that. I'm calling for the same latitude for Catholics today. And I want people to stop it. Stop bashing the Catholics. We get the same latitude that the Jews do. That's fair. That's my call. Thank you. You've done a great show.
Bill, I like it. You're going out with a bang. Hey, folks at home, stop bashing the Catholics. That's the message Bill has for you all at home today. Bill, as always, my friend, thank you so much for calling in. And you do great work. And we've always appreciated you sharing our content. So thank you. And we'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll have like another show where you call into, and I'll probably maybe be a host there. So, Bill, thank you so much for all the great work you do. We appreciate you calling in. I want to turn to Mark in Tennessee. Mark, welcome to the show.
I want to congratulate you on a great job that you did with InfoWars. I think you stepped in a tough situation, did a great job. Your professionalism, your sources. Excited to hear you're going to have Mel K on. I'm the guy used to message you on X. Hey, when's Mel K going to be on? So anyway.
I love that. You know, Mark, Mel K is my former neighbor. We were neighbors just a year ago.
People here, excuse me.
What was that, Mark?
Oh, I was just saying here, calling here from Tennessee, just letting you know that what we are facing here is we got to pull back and see what's happening to America.
Yeah.
And in particular, what's happening to the American Christian. It is the American Christian right now, really, if you think about it, that's being pulled apart, that is under attack. And there's a reason for that, because Christianity, and in particular American Christianity, has attempted to lead the whole world in looking at a way and looking at forgiveness, looking at a way of living, looking at a view of the world that is completely different than any other faith and any other thing in the world. And if you look and you track Western civilization, the basis of Western civilization is Christianity. Mm-hmm. And Christianity gave birth to Western civilization. And all the great things that we see, laissez-faire, people's individual relationships with government, with those in authority and those with power, those all came out of the mindset of the Christian Bible, the Christian way of looking at things, and so on. If you look at all the other religions in the world, and even including all the isms, fascism, communism, Islamism, Judaism, all the isms in the world, they all require something. They all require adherence to their totem, to their rules, to their regulations. And if you meet these rules and regulations, then therefore you will receive some sort of nirvana, some sort of heaven, some sort of, you know, salvation. Christianity is the only religion ever invented. Were not invented, excuse me, ever in history that relied upon a relationship with a savior. It is the only religion that has ever existed like that. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about following a certain set of rules in order for you to receive salvation, in order for you to receive acceptance from God. It is about a risen Savior that came to us in our helpless condition and gave us his life. And he gave us his life so that we would have life. Mm-hmm. We are the only civilization ever in history to have its civilization based upon a relationship with a risen Savior. No place in this world has ever had that. And that is why the world is coming for America. When you see, you know, certain Jewish groups saying hateful things, I'm not surprised. When you see Muslim groups saying things that they say, I'm not surprised. When you see Hindu groups saying the same thing, saying the things that they say, I'm not surprised. What they are doing is that this, what's behind this, is an evil and a satanic movement in order to kill the gospel, in order to kill Christianity, in order to absorb it and turn it into some type of a bastardized thing so that the rulers on high, so that they can be the ultimate leaders and they can keep us suppressed and eventually wipe out the gospel, wipe out any thought of Christianity in the way that it was a relationship between people and their Savior. And this is the love of Christ. Even if there was only one person in the world, ever in the universe, that ever said, Jesus Christ is my Savior, he would save that person. And that's the difference between Christianity and the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. It was Christianity that gave the basis for Western civilization. It was Christianity that were the basis of the rights of a human being, the rights of a person to redress grievances, the rights of a person to decide what's going to happen to their body, the rights of a person to be able to be able to express and live their lives the way they want to, that came right out of Christian thought. No place else, Christianity. That's why we must fight for Christianity. Whether you're a Catholic, whether no matter what, if you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what you better be fighting for, because that's what the world is coming for, and we are the last remnant. This is it.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I mean, there's signs of hope, I got to say. When I look at the stats, I know we reported on it extensively. I've done the diving into the in the UK, how Bible sales have skyrocketed over the last few months here in the United States. Obviously, so many young people are actually turning to Christianity. I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to all of this. And the last data I have from all of this, like how many adults in this country specifically identify as Christians, 62% of Americans, adult Americans, do identify as Christians. So I think we're going to see more of a surge in all of that. And I think most people at home agree with you. So Mark in Tennessee, thank you for calling in. And thank you for being so kind in your opening as well. We really appreciate it. And I'll make sure to pass on those kind words that you had in the open to Mel as well. We appreciate you. And I'll be working with Mel on a whole bunch of other projects as well. So we hope you stay in touch. Folks, I want to pivot a little bit for a half a second here. Kind of upsetting news. Chuck Norris has passed away, according to TMZ. And then there was just a post that made his way. I believe this is to Instagram. His family coming out and saying with heavy hearts that he did pass away yesterday morning, it looks like. And the circumstances behind his passing, they're going to keep private right now. But he has officially, sadly, passed away. And it's absolutely devastating. As many of you guys know, he was an incredible actor. So many Americans loved Chuck Norris. And so hearing about his passing at the age of 86, I believe it was, is completely devastating. So, you know, it's just another sad story. I actually texted it over when we got the alert over to our news division here so that they were aware of it. And, you know, Ben over there was like, he'll be back. So, you know, very, very sad story. Very, very sad story. But Chuck Norris has passed away at the age of 86, and he will be deeply, deeply missed. Let's keep diving through the calls because we've got about 11 minutes left. Let me turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome back.
Good morning, Brianna.
I can, Tim.
Good morning, Brianna. I must say, I'm sorry to see you go. I remember when it was just 1 hour every Saturday, and I looked so forward to that. And then when I found out you're going to do 3 hours every day, I got so excited. I've been listening virtually every day, every minute of every day since. And of course, I bugged you and called in and ranted and so forth. And you've been very kind and patient to take my rant and so forth. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Tim. You know, I'll still be working with the team. Alex is, you know, building up his next empire. So we'll stay in touch. There will definitely be a show. I don't know. Definitely not 3 hours, though. I need a break. G and Giuseppe need their mom back. So, but there definitely will be work that we're doing over here. So not completely gone, but we'll take a little break from 3 hours a day.
I think you deserve it. And we can't wait to see what you stir up in the kitchen from time to time.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim.
I think it was Bill, wasn't it, that was talking about the Catholic religion and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid, what I remember is there was lots of, like, state institutions for people that can't just be out in society. Not necessarily prison, but not necessarily happy days all day, every day inside those places. But it was basically this thing kind of came to its end in 1972. Somebody real famous, Geraldo Rivera. He went into a place called Willowbrook, one word, Willowbrook State School. And, you know, that's in New York, if I remember right. And, yeah, it was undercover, and he showed films of how people were being treated. And, of course, people, you know, they don't want to see mentally ill people, you know, and so forth. It's hard to look at, and certain kind of special loving person has to take care of those kind of people. But ultimately, they ended up closing that place and many places like it. And as you know, from those days until these days, the same people exist. They're just on the streets or they're in prison. And the prison isn't a good place for them either. But anyways, this brings me to what I called about was the state comptroller for New York issued a report about New York City, just the city. And they explained that last year they spent $81,000 per homeless person. 81,000. By the way, the median household income in New York City is $81,228. So basically what everyone works their butt off for, they'll just give you if you're homeless here. Well, they don't hand it to you, but you get the idea. But it's 81,000, and they say that this year it's expected to be 97,000 per person that's homeless. 97,000. And by the way, this spending has gone up 26%, you know, since they, for instance, it was $28,000 per person in 2019. $28,000 per person 2019, and now they're projecting for this year, $97,000.
Yeah.
Per person.
Yeah. So, Tim, it's all a scam. I mean, so Mel Kay is going to be joining me, and you know what's so funny? Me and Mel were going back and forth on how we started in this space, and I didn't even realize it, but both me and Mel were actually, we were living in New York at the time. We were both covering the same story, and that was the exact thing that you're talking about right now, the corruption in New York City. Bill de Blasio, we covered it on this show as well. Bill de Blasio shuffled over $1 billion to his wife. And this was in 1 year alone. His wife, who's no longer, he's not married to anymore. She was actually a part-time lesbian as well. Quite a creepy couple. But the two of them were shuffling this money over to what was called Thrive NYC. Now that $1 billion, roughly $750 million of it, was unaccounted for. She had no proof of receipt. She couldn't tell the New York City Council where that funds went. Had nothing to do with it. She was like, I don't know where it went. It's just gone. And the number of homeless increased, so it didn't actually do what it was supposed to. So this has been an ongoing issue. The homeless complex, the lefties who love the homeless living on the streets, is a reason why they love doing it. It's because they could shuffle all of these taxpayer funds to these NGOs who pretend to go out there and advocate for these homeless individuals and try to find them housing. If you're dishing out $81,000 per homeless person in New York City, though, you might as well just give them the cash and let them have at it at that point. But that money never goes to the cause, Tim. And so, you know, it's one of the many things that we continue to learn here, of course, that it's all a big fraud scheme. And I don't know if the DOJ is ever going to go after them. If you're going to go after them, though, I would say first up, you probably should go after Bill de Blasio and his wife, because there's $750 million that's unaccounted for from that year alone. I mean, it's so insane that it even happened in the first place and that somebody wasn't arrested for any of that. Tim, California, as always, I appreciate you calling in. And we'll keep you posted. It's not goodbye. It's just Brianna needs a couple of weeks off, and we'll figure out how we're building up our new news division later. That's kind of where we're at right now, Tim. I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in, as always. Lester in West Virginia is on hold. Lester, welcome back.
Hey, Brianna, how you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, Lester?
I'm doing just fine. It's a great day because baseball's being played somewhere.
I love it. I'm a baseball girl, as many of you know.
Oh, I know. I remember your career. We talked about this before. I remember your career from coverage in Team USA and back in, you know, back then. So anyway, I just wanted to say, Brianna, you're a great broadcaster. I hope you stick with broadcasting. I know your true love lies in producing. But I'm a broadcaster, and I hope you stick to it. Uh-huh. At least do some sort of a show, because, you know, you're an inspiration. I've worked hard to get even nowhere near to the level that you're at.
Well, Lester, thank you. Thank you so much. This is, by the way, if you're all watching right now, this is my coverage of the World Baseball Classic in 2017. This is a throwback. This is when I was just a baby Brianna running around the baseball field trying to grab interviews with players. And we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. So, Lester, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, you've done a great job, Brianna. And I just wanted to jump in and say that. And I hope you keep us posted on X and your next ventures, you know, where your next show will be at.
Thank you, Lester. Yeah, well, for folks at home right now, too, my Twitter page is at Brianna Morello. That's BriannaMorello. Also, if you want to follow, it's free. It's just an email list. Exclusive stories sent directly to your inbox. IndependentNewsroom.com is where you could find that. That's IndependentNewsroom.com. It's a free email list. We don't spam you. It's literally just maybe two emails a month you'll get at most of the most important stories. Lester, thank you for letting me plug that for folks at home who are looking to give me a follow there. We're also on Rumble as well. Brianna Morello, YouTube as well, Brianna Morello. So find me on all those platforms. But again, we're going to be still working with InfoWars or whatever the next project is called. I know Alex is very busy planning his next move and building up that news division. And I look forward to joining Alex in just that. So Lester, thank you for calling. I greatly appreciate it, as always. You've always been a delight to hear from on the line. So thank you so much. Let's turn to, because I'm trying to get everyone in as I can, Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning, Chad.
Looking forward to you kicking some ass for InfoWars in the future.
Thank
That's great
you.
News.
It will be fun, Chad. It will be fun.
Yes. Be a good change up in events. I'm sure it'll save you some time in the morning, right? Maybe,
yes.
Maybe not.
I hear you.
So, also, I just want to thank the crew there. I want to thank all of InfoWars for the contrast that we get with the news. The information that's provided from InfoWars, the humor at times, just the humanity aspect, and just the reality. It's a great way to be able to handle the news in a better form. And you guys do just an amazing job. And I've learned so much throughout the last 6-7 years, going in your direction. So again, very Thank much you. Appreciative of all of that.
Thank you.
And I just want to make a little bit of sense about just the midterms and just reality and the way that I see things going. And it was great to hear a couple of callers talk about Catholics, Christianity. I'm a Christian. I'm baptized, communion, everything, Bible school. And I see a lot of priorities throughout other states that are going in the direction of, bills being passed. And I think overall, if you look at hate in any form, it should just be hate towards anyone. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be prioritized one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It should be, this is hate. And, there are things that create it. And we all need to do our due diligence to try to figure out why it is that maybe some hate is there more so, and speak the truth. The truth sets us free. And when we don't get the truth, what do we get? We get all these little battles, right, of lies, like in the InfoWar. Every lie is a battle in the InfoWar, and you have to battle. And I'm concerned. I'm just reality pilled. I'm just very concerned about the midterms. I'm very concerned about not having resolute members of our government, whether it be in Congress, whether it be in the executive, judicial, legislative branches. I'm very concerned that we are not going in the direction. I feel like we got who we wanted in office, and we get somewhat a lot of people get comfortable again. Oh, well, Trump's in. But we have seen a complete 180 turn on domestic, the Agenda 47. That stuff has, it's concerning. And now you see Susan Rice coming out, and I don't know if you saw her recent comments.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, the payback, and they're starting to ramp that up. And it's all kabuki theater when it comes to Congress and all these hearings and all this stuff. But what I want to say this, Joe Kent, and I know there's a lot going back and forth, but what I see is a man that's resolute, that's determined. It's unwavering in many ways. I see Tulsi Gabbard the same, and I see the pressure that they are. I can't even fathom what Tulsi Gabbard has stepped into and what she has been exposed to. But to stay resolute and to remain professional, but also make sure that, because the agendas change, things change when you get into office. You get exposed to things, you get pressures, and it's just, I'm very concerned. So,
yeah, Chad, you're not alone, and I want to thank you for calling in. We're up against a hard commercial break. We're going to get Savage Dog on the line. He'll be our last caller. Folks, if you're on the lines right now, thank you so much. It means the world to me that you guys tried calling in. We're always out of time. I need a longer show than 3 hours. I think that's what the case.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this. And this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandersore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandersore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandersore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. And it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the third hour program today. Happy Friday, everyone. On the lines for our very final phone call. As many of you guys know, it's the American Journal will live on. I think we're doing an extra week of it. Still kind of up in the air. Alex is working on a plan right now as we build up the news division for his next project. But as of right now, this is officially my last time hosting a show on InfoWars. And so what better way to kind of wrap things up with our final caller? Mr. Savage Dog in Georgia is on the lines. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Good morning, Brianna. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I am blessed. I'd like to, before I start, I'd like to, if I could plug my new website.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's called, If Brianna Quits the American Journal, We Riot.com.
That URL wasn't taken. That's really hard to believe.
No. Our mission statement is, if she quits, we're going to make January 6th look like January 5th.
I like this. Don't go to prison, though. It's not worth it.
Hey, I'll do it. Hey, I'm crazy. You don't know me. I'll do it.
Listen, my mom was horrified during the years of the J6 saga going on. I was writing guys in prison trying to get stories and stuff and trying to make sure they were okay. And my mom came to my apartment one day and looks down. And she's like, what is this? And I'm like, it's a new dating service, Mom. You just write guys in prison. They're all unvaccinated. And she was horrified. I had to remind her it was a joke. Bad joke, but it was a joke.
Rather an unvaccinated felon than a... Right.
Hey, right they're on. Loyal. Ain't got nothing else going on for them.
Bad joke. I got no political comments or anything. I just wanted to thank you for your service and your dedication to your work. And... For allowing people to talk, and been just an epic host.
Aww.
And I do want to thank you for that. And for you and for everybody, my advice, my final word is, yes, go and get saved. Commit to Christ, repent, fast, and pray. Get armored up in the Word by reading the Bible, and be kind to others, and just be the light of the truth of the way of Christ. And just be aware of the spiritual attacks by the enemy, because once you're saved, you don't get to sit back and relax. That's when the battle starts. And you don't get to just do what you want because you got to get out jail free card being saved. No, you got work to do. Get up and do it. And your work is to be the light of God and to show everybody what a Christian is. So that, if you wear a, Christ is King shirt, but you're acting like an asshole, people are going to think, well, that's what Christianity is. And that's why I think a lot of them have a bad reputation, because that happens a lot. Be the light. Be kind. Be, it doesn't matter if they got blue hair and a set and a spell and a whatever, the bull ring. Be kind to them. Open the door for them, even if you are the patriarchy and they'll hate you for it. It don't matter. Mm. That's your job. be kind. And, you know, that was the second, you know, they say it's the golden rule. Now it's the second rule of Christ is to do unto others. The first rule is love God above everything and all else. Yeah. But, yes, be, treat everybody like you want to be treated and drown them in the honey.
I love that. I love that, Savage Dog. And it's a great way to wrap it up because, I mean, man, we need to be spreading the word. We need to inspire others to do the same. So, as always, my friend, thank you for calling into the show, and thank you for that positive note. We need it these days. There's so much negativity in the news cycle, so it's refreshing. And I love how the bulk of our callers today were actually talking about finding Christ, and that was really, really important. So thank you, my good friend. I appreciate it, and I look forward to staying in touch with you and everyone else, of course. So thank you for those who jumped on the lines and were on hold for a bit. It is an honor to have you guys calling into the show. You guys have been great to me, and I'm very, very grateful for just that. So thank you again, Savage Dog, folks. We got more to talk about in just a few moments. Hunter Gaylor will be joining the show, and there's a lot that I got to ask him about in regards to the economy, everything going on in Iran. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about there. Plus, we'll also be joined by my girl, Mel Kay. She's jumping on because we got a lot of FISA to talk about. I mean, man, oh, man. Are these rhinos now all of a sudden, they have no problem renewing FISA, and they don't want to make any changes? How absurd. We'll discuss in a second.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesshow.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesshow.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesshow.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah! Yeah!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Glad you're all here. Third hour program. A lot to talk about. As many of you guys know, the left all of a sudden wants to talk about the economy. I mean, for the last few months when everything was good, they ignored it. They turned the other way. Like when egg prices were surging, they focused on it. But when egg prices came back down, they didn't want to talk about it anymore. Now that oil prices are surging, all of a sudden now they're all experts at oil prices. It's quite laughable if it wasn't such a serious topic, but that's what they do. The mainstream media doesn't want to cover the positive. They only want to cover the negative. And right now, the Trump administration sadly has a lot of negative to cover these days. You know, the president's been grilled about his war in Iran. And again, this is something that the American people, it seems like, do not support. But the polls seem to say a totally different thing. And it doesn't make any sense when you actually think about it. But President Trump has been grilled about the oil prices that are surging right now. And he's trying his very best to combat those prices. We've heard him outline his plan to do just that. But in clip 13, this was, I believe, yesterday, he was asked about it again. Take a listen.
President, do you intend to lift sanctions on Iranian oil? And do you intend to potentially put U.S. troops or more troops in the region?
No, I'm not putting troops anywhere. If I were, I certainly wouldn't tell you. But I'm not putting troops. And we will do whatever is necessary to keep the price. I actually thought when I did this, look, the Dow just hit 50,000 a couple of weeks ago. They said that couldn't happen for 4 years. It wouldn't happen in my term. It's such a outrageous thing because I said it would happen. I didn't know it was going to happen that fast, but it just hit 50,000. And we did that in 1 year, not four. S&P had just hit 7,000. They said that was even more impossible than the Dow hitting 50. And we did that in 1 year. So it's all done. Everything was going great. The economy was great. Oil prices were very low. Gasoline was dropping to, I mean, we had $1.99, $1.85. We had great everything. And I saw what was happening in Iran, and I said, I hate to make this excursion, but we're going to have to do it. And I actually thought the numbers would be worse. I thought that it would go up more than it did.
All right. Well, obviously, I don't know if we're very happy with that kind of response, but the president obviously going out there and saying he thought prices would be worse. But when you watch the price of oil these days, it is kind of jumping up right now. I think yesterday it was around $110 a barrel. But President Trump is obviously trying his very best to combat just that. And the vice president and also the energy secretary are working around the clock to do just that. They're actually meeting, according to reports, they've met with a lot of these oil company executives discussing what they're going to do to take down these prices. Obviously, this is a topic that most Americans, especially when you're heading into the midterms, want to talk about. So joining me to discuss just that is Hunter Gaylor. He's the founder of Spencer and Pruitt and an America First strategist. He also just launched a brand new Substack page for folks at home. I highly recommend you head on over there and subscribe as well. It is free to join. And Hunter's a very smart man, so there's a lot of great things that go up on his Substack page, Substack website, I should say. So check it out. Capital Intelligence Brief is where you could find him on Substack as well. Hunter, thank you for being here. It's an honor to have you back on the program. Want to kind of walk through all of this. You know, Americans are going to the pumps right now, and they're watching the price of gas skyrocket. I think here in Texas, we're a little below $4 a gallon, which is crazy because the same gas station just a couple of days ago was around $2 a gallon. So what's going on here, and is the White House doing enough to combat these prices?
Well, Brianna, it's great to be here with you on your final show here at InfoWars for a brief period of time. So always a pleasure to be here. Yeah, I mean, diving right into it, we've had this conversation. We talk about it all the time. You know, the problem is the White House knows that this attack on Iran was a big mistake, right? And now what's going on with the Strait of Hormuz, you're having reports come out that oil could go as high as $180 a barrel. You know, in the oil industry, we look at it having oil anywhere between $60 and $90 is good. Once you get to 100, you're going to feel it, right? And we are already feeling it. I put gas in my car this morning, and you know, unfortunately, I put premium. I mean, it was almost $6, yeah. Right? And that's here in Florida. So you're starting to see it, right? And it's going to start affecting everything that we the consumers face, right? It's going to affect supply chains. It's going to affect shipping, transportation. I mean, look at what's going on with TSA right now. You have these massive long lines that are going out, and they could tell you it's because of budget cuts and all of this other stuff that's going on. But you have to understand that there's a much bigger play here when it comes to the global supply chain. 20% of the oil that services the world goes through the Strait of Hormuz. And if we don't, you know, get that thing open and we don't get these, you know, ships flowing, you're going to start seeing this number continue to increase and increase and increase. So while the Trump administration is trying to say, oh no, we're in the midterms, now we got to get political, let's give the people what they want. Look, in Trump's clip, it's very simple. He said, oh, look at the Dow was up, the Dow was up, the Dow was up. Well, that's all great. But then you go and you strike on behalf of Israel, which is what Marco Rubio said. He came out in the press and said, you know, we didn't want to do it, but you know, we were forced to by Israel. That's a whole nother conversation. So let's just talk about the economics of it, right? When you're looking at this situation, it's going to affect the entire supply chain. And when he says he doesn't want to send troops, that's patently incorrect based on what we're seeing. We're seeing, I believe it's the USS Gerald Ford. I could be incorrect on that, but that's in Greece right now. And they're trying to move it over to the Middle East to try to clear the Strait of Hormuz. So obviously you're seeing troops that are going to be moved in there. And when you have the Pentagon asking for $200 billion in addition to the defense budget, right, for this war, it doesn't show me anywhere that this is stopping anytime soon. So, you know, I don't think this is America first at all. This isn't just a war. It's a supply chain event. Shipping's going to slow down. You're going to see massive impacts into the economy. You're already seeing it. I mean, you know, you could talk about the Dow being up at 50,000. It's at 45,000 today. The S&P's down to 6,000-ish. And so, you know, yes, markets go up and markets go down, but if you really look at what's going on. There's always money for war. There's always urgency for war. There's always a consensus for war. But yet when we actually want, you know, where's the consensus for lower gas prices? I didn't vote for this war. In fact, Trump was the no new wars president. Yet look at what we're in right now. So, you know, and we're about to pay heavily for it. So if we don't really start, you know, getting our act together, we're going to be in some serious problems.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Americans see that. And the polling data that's coming from CNN, MSNBC, they're actually pushing polling data that tells President Trump that this is actually favorable amongst his base. And that's deeply concerning.
That's patently untrue. 27%, only 27% of the MAGA base. And by the way, the MAGA base, right? And I'll be the first to tell you, we've been in this game now for over 10 years, yeah. Right? This is essentially you're going on the third Trump, go around, right? So if you go back to 2016, right? And you go up till, where we're at today, I mean, we've heard this narrative. And so the fact that the MAGA base is out there saying, oh, we love this. We need to go bomb Iran. We need to do this. I have no interest in bombing Iran. I could really care less. Yeah, I understand that the Ayatollah's out there saying, death to America and all this stuff. But you know what? Come get me, right? Yeah. Like, seriously, come get me, right? You're not going to. But now what we're saying, what we're starting to see is we have underestimated a war of attrition, right? And this is the problem that happened, back when we went to war in the Middle East the first time after 9/11, right? And we were there for 20 years, okay? And so, yeah, we take out the Ayatollah, the Ayatollah, and then the new Ayatollah comes in, and yeah, you're going to have the radical, but at some point, you got 90 million people over in Iran that are just going to rise up and say, enough is enough, we don't want this. Now, militarily, I get very, very concerned from a supply chain perspective because we already have an issue with rare earth and critical minerals here. Bloomberg, they were talking to several executives this morning saying all of the rare earth and antimony and the things that we need to actually manufacture the weapon systems that we have, whether it's our Patriot missile systems or our Sidewinder missiles or whatever that we're launching, right, all have rare earth in it. And if we don't shore up our own supply chain, then yeah, it's going to be a big problem. And when we say that, when you look at the reports, you've covered this before. Alex Jones has covered this before on InfoWars. And we talk about war of attrition. If we're launching $1 million one-time Scud missile, okay, to take out, a $35,000 drone, the math doesn't add up. And when you look at the defense budget, and I know we were talking about this a little bit, but when you look at the defense budget, it's almost $1 trillion. I believe the last time I looked, it was like 930 something billion. You add an additional 200 billion, right, to that spending package, you're now over $1 trillion. So that's $1.3 trillion plus for Medicare, Medicaid. That's another $1.6 trillion that you have for Social Security. And now that's another $1 trillion. You've now passed $1 trillion mark for defense spending, which is going to continue on. And we're already spending $1 billion, $1.2 billion a day on this war alone. So, and look at what this is doing for the region. Saudi doesn't want this. UAE doesn't want this. Mm-hmm. You're seeing they're now trying to censor the social media posts in Dubai because they don't want to see that the Fairmont Hotel and, the Burj Al Arab and some of these other places getting bombed. So yeah, it's bad because, they're trying to build, Western civilization over there that promotes tourism and hospitality and all this, but no one's going to go there when you got bombs flying. So, at the end of the day, I think what we really need to focus on is getting a message to the administration saying enough is enough. Stop fighting these ridiculous wars. You took out the Ayatollah. If you need to take out the Ayatollah, do a strategic takeout. I mean, we've got enough military assets out there and special forces. We could do what we did with Maduro, right? Take the guy out and let the people fix the problems over there. We don't need a 20-year war. We don't need a 10-year war, and we definitely where are we on week 3 now, going on week 4, and if they get a $200 billion, if they actually pass it, what do you think that's going to happen? Do you think all of a sudden it's going to stop? So yeah, I think the American people need to wake up and call their congressmen and call their congresswoman and their senators, and they need to throw up in arms and they say enough is enough. Gas prices are already up. That's going to mean food prices are going to increase. You've got Saudi is warning $180 potential. Entire countries may run out of it because, we're built on a total petroleum based economy. You think of all of the things that we rely on, that are a byproduct of oil. I mean, from plastics to dental to, medical, you name it. I we could be here forever talking about this, but I mean, this is a situation where the administration came in and said, we want lower home prices. We want our border under control. We want all of these things, and we're getting none of it. He just came out and said, we're not doing mass deportation. We're not doing mass deportation because why? The agricultural secretary says, hey, look, our agricultural sector is really hurting because we don't have a labor pool. So we need to, you know, keep the migrant labor forces in the agricultural sector. Those are real conversations that's going on. So when I look at it from an investment perspective, or I look at it from any type of supply chain management, when we talk with our clients, it's contingency planning at this point, mm-hmm. right? If the insurance companies aren't going to insure these ships safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz, and they're just going to sit there, and that's just going to have a trickle down effect. I mean, look at what happened. They canceled Formula One in Bahrain. They canceled Formula One in Saudi. So, and by the way, the World Cup starting in 2030 in Neom, is that going to continue to go on? I mean, you're talking about major, you know, events that are just being canceled because of this. And I just see there's absolutely no place for it whatsoever.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too, and I'm glad you brought it up. You know, the Strait of Hormuz right now, we see Israel stepping in because they want to be able to see these tankers get through there. President Trump was criticized by the German government as well. This was, I think, yesterday we played the clip. They were a little upset because now the president's asking other countries to step up and help with that as well to make sure there's a safe passage. They're saying, though, the Germans are saying that this looks like President Trump didn't actually plan this through and didn't have an exit plan in all of this. Now he's asking for other countries to come in and step in to help him out with all of this. Is that how you see it?
That's exactly how I see it. I think that this was a rash move, mm-hmm. right? I don't think it was war gamed out. I don't think they actually sat in a situation room and said, oh, we need to do this, right? And the reason I say it is, mm-hmm. is all of my opinion is based on stuff that they have said, not my speculation, what they have said. Rubio came out in a press conference and said, Israel said that they were going to, you know, hit this. So, you know, that's what forced us in. So if that's the control that they have over this administration, that's a whole nother story. Economically, okay, the definition of war is to kill people and break things, okay? Well, we have killed people and we now have broken things. But guess what we broke as an effect of this? We broke supply chains. We broke the entire flow of almost half the world's energy supply. So yeah, when these other countries like Germany and France and the rest of these countries say, hey, look, we want nothing to do with this. We want absolutely nothing to do with this. You know, that's your problem. And so when you look at America, you know, I'll tell you, just very simple. The energy markets, they don't care about, you know, political speeches. They care about what is the reality at hand, right? Barrels in the ground versus barrels being drilled versus barrels being shipped versus barrels being consumed, right? All the way to the pump. And so at the end of the day, because the second you start talking about Iran, you're not talking about some abstract conflict on a map. You're talking about oil. And he can say, oh, we're going to go seize the oil. Where's the seized oil? Where is it? Why, you know, if energy is such a big thing, then why aren't you opening up Venezuela, letting the companies go in, letting us go in and letting us drill, baby, drill? And even the U.S., they're sitting there talking with all of these leaders of these major multinational corporations, which, by the way, aren't going anywhere. Exxon ain't going nowhere. Chevron's not going anywhere. Because at the end of the day, you know, the U.S. military highly relies, right? Especially if you do ground invasion. What, we don't have green tanks. We don't have solar powered tanks. We have petrol diesel tanks, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, these Jeeps, the, all of that goes down to oil. And so, yeah, I think this was a major miscalculation on behalf of this Trump administration. And I hate to say it because I've been a fan of Trump, but you know, when I see stuff like this, this is not America first. In fact, this is kind of America last because, you know, we have no stability. I mean, you know, that's really, I'm almost speechless because there's, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you just bombed Iran and you've created upheaval in the Middle East. And now what? You know, what are we supposed to do from here? And we're going into the midterms. This is, of course they're going to, you know, of course he's going to go back and say, oh, we need to, you know, look at how great it was. Look at how great it was. Yeah, but great was is not is. And we live in the world of what is now. And right now it doesn't look good. So I don't know what the exit strategy here is, especially when you follow the money. And if anyone follows me on what I say always follow the money. Mm-hmm. And when we sit here and we have, but I think we have 1 year's budget reconciliation to turn around, but yet we have the Defense Department asking for $200 billion. What do you need $200 billion for if you're not going to continue in the war? So it doesn't add up to me, right? Something is off. And that's my gut feeling here is if you're going to continue the war, or if you're not going to continue the war for that matter, why are you asking for more money for more military resources, right? Because it's not we want to build back up a great army. Not when we're deploying active troops right now. So to me, it's you need war is money and money is war. I get it. But why are we asking for that much when we're spending $1 billion plus a day? It doesn't add up to me.
Yeah. And just to add to this point, too, you know, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, has been asked repeatedly about the timeline of all of this. And he won't give us a timeline, saying he doesn't want to put any restrictions on the president. The president himself saying that this wasn't going to be long, this wasn't going to be drawn out. But $200 billion tells me that they are planning for this to be a bit longer than just 5 weeks. I mean, that is an absurd amount of money, especially when you compare, Hunter, and I kind of want to get your reaction to this one as well. You know, this week, our national debt surged to $39 trillion. I mean, that is insane when you compare what we're going to do to future generations in this country. I mean, no one's even talking about, and we have a Republican majority, no one's even talking about driving that debt down. Instead, it's skyrocketing with now an additional $200 billion being requested. I mean, what the heck is going on right now? This is just, it infuriates me.
I think you could not have articulated it better with that line. What the heck is going on here is the absolute truth. Look, you've got almost $1 trillion, just in the interest on the debt. You got another $1 trillion for defense spending. You got another $1 trillion for Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. I mean, and going on $40 trillion, yet we have, our home prices haven't been lowered, right? Our gas prices definitely aren't. So if you look at the future generation, I mean, you know, I feel bad for them. And because at the end of the day, this is not what I would want to leave to my children or future generations. And the problem is until we look at saying, okay, stop policing the world, right? Stop policing the world and start policing your own cities and your own country and protect your borders, right? I mean, if you're looking at the rise of AI and all of these other things, there are reports coming out now that the highest paying jobs are going to be plumbers and electrical workers and all of these things, almost like micros, dirty jobs. Mm-hmm. So if we don't bring back manufacturing here, if we don't bring back energy independence here, if we don't bring back food manufacturing and food production, I don't mean manufacturing, artificial manufacturing, but you know, large industrial agriculture, right? You know, we're the breadbasket of the world. If we need to start bringing it back and focus on America, right? We're a population of 350 million people, minus all of the illegals that are here. We need to be focusing on our borders, right? They always say, you need to make sure you get your house in order before you go help someone else, right? It's like when you're flying on an airplane, right? In the event of an emergency or loss of cabin pressure, okay? Oxygen masks will be, will be dropped from the ceiling. Put your mask on first before you help the person next to you, right? That is what we need to be doing. It should be the airline protocol of America, right? We need to fix ourselves first before we go fix other problems around the world. And by the way, when you look at the past corruption of the deep state from USAID to all of these other corrupt organizations, you know, this is not helping America. And I encourage everyone to call their congressman and hold their feet to the fire, because you're sitting here having senators like Lindsey Graham that's celebrating this stuff, right? You're celebrating the bombing of all of these things. Okay, yeah, we understand Iran's been saying all of this stuff and whatever, but they're all the way over there, yeah. Right? They're not here. They're all the way over there. Now, granted, I will say, the sleeper cells in the U.S., that does give me a little bit of worry. But we should be focusing more on our security of in and removing these people from our country and protecting our borders and our cities and making our cities safe, right? Yeah. And if we are going to go after the criminals, go after the criminals, right? And by the way, the real criminals are the people sitting in Congress right now that are allowing this to happen. I didn't vote for this war. I didn't elect my president, and I didn't vote for, you know, my my local congressman to go to war. I want them to help my communities be safer, to have regulatory red tape so I can run a business, help hire people, right? Create more industry, create more jobs to make my community better, my city better, my county better, my state better. And in turn, your state is part of the country, make the country better, right? So I've always says it starts with the individual. And if the individual just stands up and says, hey, listen, enough is enough, right? Hold these people accountable. And I don't see these people being held accountable. And that's a big problem. And the best way you can do is don't give them money. They're taking money from us, right, to go fund these wars. That's taxpayer dollars, yeah. Right? Well, I didn't, that, you know, you work for me and you didn't ask me for permission, right, for this. It wasn't, hey, let's go into the voting booth and let's put on the ballot, you know, down ballot. Oh, yes. Bomb Iran, yes or no? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and vote yes, bomb Iran. That's not what we're doing. Yeah. That's not what we elected, you know, our people for. So at the end of the day, you know, this is just a very big problem because we do not want another war, nor based on the prices that we have and the debt that we have. We can't afford another war.
Yeah, well, Hunter, you're spot on with all of that. Folks at home, if you want to follow Hunter on Substack, he just made a Substack page. Capital Intelligence Brief is where you can find him. And he's got a bunch of enlightening pieces up there right now, so give it a read. Thank you, Hunter, for joining us. As always, we appreciate it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to join you.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts. Now, iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited you're all here with us today, folks. Hunter Gaylor was like fired up today. He really was. If you didn't do it, it's free. Go over to Substack. He just signed up and they made a Substack, and I was actually very proud that he did that. I probably have read at least three of his articles, and they're just, first off, they're like loaded with information that you're not going to see anywhere else, but it also comes from America First perspective. So again, he just launched this, just did it now. Capital Intelligence Brief is where you could find Hunter Gaylor on Substack. He does a great job. And he just launched. I don't know where this guy has the time to do all of this. I mean, he's running a massive company. He's enjoying living in South Florida, and then he's running a Substack page. I don't know how this guy does it, but he does it. He makes me look lazy, and I don't feel lazy, but I kind of feel lazy now. But folks, definitely give him a follow up on Substack. It is an incredible read. And speaking of just that, let's pivot to my next topic. You know, FISA is up for renewal. And I feel like a broken record, because every time it comes up, I'm over here like, okay, let's get some fixes going. And they don't actually want to fix it. They don't want to fix it. And so this is what's going on now. We are currently dealing with people who used to advocate for FISA to be fixed. They no longer want it fixed. Now, thankfully, there is a group of bipartisan lawmakers who have introduced the Government Surveillance Reform Act of 2026, and they are looking to make sure that there's no backdoors that could be used to abuse FISA and the courts itself. And that was just brought forward, which sounds good. But the people that used to support these things don't really support it anymore. And Lauren Boebert, who is the congressman for the great state of Colorado, is calling it out. I was a little fired up the other day. I saw a post from a mainstream reporter, and it said specifically that Chairman Jim Jordan supports a clean renewal of FISA. Now, that sounded crazy because Jim Jordan was somebody who was aggressively against FISA being renewed in the current terms. But somehow, some way, he's had a change of heart. This is J.D. Vance. He's also advocating for FISA being fixed. And then it goes on to Chairman Jim Jordan being called out. All of these posts date back, and I don't know where the vice president stands on this currently. But I do know where the president stands on this, according to our CIA director, Mr. John Ratcliffe, who testified yesterday. Apparently, President Trump is in support of FISA being renewed. Take a listen to clip 15.
On April 19th, FISA goes dark. 702 goes dark. And it's been talked about many times, but up to 60% of the president's daily briefing is derived from FISA 702. And we look at the successes that we've had in protecting the homeland and also the conflicts the U.S. has been involved with, the flawless operation in Venezuela, Operation Fury in Iran, troop protection, the successes we've had on the battlefield in Ukraine, the recovery and release of the Hamas hostages in the tunnels in Israel, all derived from FISA 702. There is not a military operation that we've been involved with where FISA 702 was not, as Director Ratcliffe has said, been indispensable to the United States in the protection of our country. Director Patel has also said FISA 702 is indispensable. We're 30 days away from it going dark. Director Ratcliffe, can you clarify the president's position on an 18-month clean reauthorization and how that's going to proceed moving forward?
Congressman, thank you, and thank you for highlighting this issue. So the president is in favor of an 18-month clean clean reauthorization of FISA 702. And I would add to that, I'm heartened by the fact to hear that the chairman of this committee and the ranking member are in agreement with that.
Say it ain't so. Joining me to discuss, my girl Mel Kay. She's host of the Mel Kay Show and author of the book Americans Anonymous, Restoring Power to the People, One Citizen at a Time. Oh, Mel. We're talking about FISA being renewed, and apparently the president of the United States, who is the victim of FISA, is on board with extending another 18 months with no reforms at all. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on that is that we have to remember how much it has been abused, the warrantless surveillance 702. People should know 702 means American citizen. So it's warrantless surveillance on an American citizen. And they all keep saying that's not true, but as you and I both know, they can capture our data and anything else. We know that they have abused the FISA system multiple times, including it was in the Horowitz report, about 3 million American citizens were spied on using FISA 702. And then, of course, if they are spying on somebody in a foreign country or that is a terrorist or something else, if you happen to speak to them and they're spying on them, then they're going to spy on you, too. So, I mean, are we really at this point without any accountability for Spygate or Russiagate or all of the lawfare or the Fed surrection or January 6th or Arctic Frost? None of this has been adjudicated. No one's been held accountable, let alone the weaponization between the Biden administration and Twitter and YouTube and everyone else. You are telling me that nobody's been held accountable for violating the Fourth Amendment and many other rights of the American people, but we should still just sign off on it again and go forward? Well, if nobody's been punished for violating the terms or the 10,000 people who accessed it, according to Horowitz, without proper protocol during the Biden administration, then what are we doing? Then we have no country that has any kind of privacy or responsibility. I mean, it's ended the Fourth Amendment. You have to remember also, Brianna, I hope the American people understand that this is not just, that they can do this. This is also that they have total access to the NSA database, which collects everything on the American people, which is also totally unconstitutional. So, I mean, until we deal with some of the people that violated the FISA and the 702 warrantless surveillance over the last decade, maybe we shouldn't give a clean... extension to something that has obviously been abused. It's been, we know from the George Collier report about Spygate. We know about the Horowitz report. We know about, the violations. I sent you a video of, even Matt Gaetz asking about it and them admitting that it had been abused. So we're going to give people that are abusing the FISA to violate the civil rights and the Fourth Amendment of American citizens a clean pass to go forward and continue?
Yeah. Mel, it doesn't make any sense, and I don't understand how it's getting the backing of all these people. By the way, we're also being told, too, I saw the report, and I'll let you react to this. Jim Jordan, who's obviously the judiciary chairman, apparently there was a mainstream report that popped up in my feed, and it said that he supported a clean renewal. And so I was like, this can't be real life. So I reached out to his team to verify that information before running into my ex page, and his staffer wrote me back and said, yeah, it's real, but like, there's an explanation for it. We'll call you to let you know. It's been days. No one's called me to tell me anything because they probably know that I'm going to be a hard one for them to sell on this one.
Thank God.
But no phone call yet to justify why they're pushing this through. They seem to think, and again, they're probably going to lose in the midterms. So they seem to think that if they kick the can down the road another 18 months, that maybe then they'll be able to make these key reforms, but also just throw it out there too. Lauren Boebert and Congresswoman Luna as well have all gone out there and said extensively, like every time it's up for renewal, we're told next time we'll make the fixes, and they don't let them do it. But now they're doing it again.
No.
Next 18 months we'll make the fixes. It's so infuriating. And the fact that they go and they say every time, they say, well, the president needs this for his intel briefings, and that's why we have to keep renewing this. I mean, your reaction, Mel, to the endless excuses to keep this unconstitutional behavior, this abuse, I guess you could say, going.
There is no excuse. And mind you, April of 2024, when I was yelling and screaming that they were going to do Russiagate 2.0, if they extended it in April of 2024, which they did spy on at least 30 people inside the government that were including Cruz and Hawley. This was Arctic Frost. So they were spied on. But don't forget, in April of 24, Congress banned themselves from having warrantless surveillance 702. And I want to remind your audience of the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Well, as you know, the 702 and all of this allows for the whoever is in charge of spying on us to get every piece of our data, our electronic data, our phone calls, our contact lists, text messages, our buying habits, our banking records, our private communications, every keystroke that we make online. I mean, what they're doing here is they're continuing to protect the intelligence, rogue intelligence agencies. And I think also, Brianna, we have to be very honest. The Patriot Act, which is completely unconstitutional, is a total and complete fraud. And I'm behind Luna that thinks that it should be repealed, because what happened with the Patriot Act, and then all of this has gone on steroids after it. Of course, we knew from Snowden about the NSA, and of course, that's gone 10 times beyond what it even was then. But I think we have to remember that the Patriot Act was supposed to make sure that there were no terrorists on our soil, mm-hmm. that we were going to fight the terrorists over there instead of them coming here. Of course, they opened the gates to the terrorists the day after 9/11 and then opened them wide open for 4 years under the auto pen. So the Patriot Act was never used on anything having to do with foreign terrorists. In fact, it was turned on we the people, just like the warrantless surveillance 702. I don't know at what point the people in the government are going to realize that the American people by and large are clear that whoever's working in D.C. is certainly not working for us. And more important, they are all seemingly protecting this intelligence agency blob that is above our government, and they are all threatened by it as much as we are, yet they continue to allow it. There are ways to go about investigating people that don't violate the Constitution, and that is the bottom line. Either we have a Constitution in a country or we don't.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Mel, and I don't think they like the Constitution. And I want to get to this point because it's actually a great turning point for our conversation right now. We've got about 6 minutes left, too, for this. But I wanted to get to the CIA because I couldn't believe that this was real life when I saw this, and it's actually radicalized me to like want to be a home wife right now at this point. But there's a new report that's just been released to the public, and it's almost parody if it wasn't actually real. But under the Biden regime era, CIA, they apparently put out this like warning about promoting white women who are promoting motherhood and homemaking, because that's so radical that we can't promote that type of behavior. And it just goes to show the attack on women, specifically though, trying to make this look like a less desirable role to raise your own children. But it goes on to say that white radical and ethical motivated individuals are considered to be violent extremists. My mom, who's popped out 7 kids, if she had social media, was on Instagram, she would be a domestic terrorist, according to the Biden CIA. But again, it just goes through each element and it highlights how, again, they're deeming that white women who support being a homemaker are radical left-wing terrorists. I'm sorry, radical terrorists, extremists, violent extremists. I mean, Mel, the fact that the CIA put this out, and by the way, the CIA is not supposed to be operating, from what I was told, here on U.S. soil. They're going after Americans, it looks like, from this document. Just break it down for our audience because it's appalling.
Well, first of all, what we have to realize when you look at the document is it is within the same month that Merrick Garland put out his FBI memo about parents showing up at school board meetings. Mm. So this is in that same time frame, I believe. And also the names of whoever put this together are redacted. At that time, it was William Burns running the CIA and Avril Haines of West Exec Advisors. And of course, all kinds of things having to do with Russiagate. She was the second in command, essentially, when this was written. And the real thing that we have to know here is this goes along the lines of the entire false narrative about the Fed insurrection, January 6th, white supremacists, white nationalism, white Christianity. It all comes after the full DEI capture, Susan Rice, while she was running the auto pen presidency, put out the all of government DEI. And I think it goes even deeper than that to the rot deep within the DOJ and CIA and FBI of critical legal theory and this idea that everything is based on race. There is absolutely, just like everything else, no evidence that people that stand for the nuclear family, people that stand for traditional roles of gender, all of that is a danger in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it's quite the opposite. But I would say that this, the warning about Catholics that go to traditional mass being terrorists, these mothers, this is probably about Moms for America or American Moms Fighting for Freedom. Mm-hmm. And again, in that same period of time was the PTA memo that parents showing up at school board meetings against sexually explicit material being given out in elementary school in America being a problem. So all of this is connected, but it really goes to more who, how deep the rot is in the CIA. First of all, the CIA's total creation is a fraud. It was never created to protect the United States of America. It was created to protect the international architecture that the Dulles and other people created after World War II from us. So either we have to start being honest about what the CIA is and what they do, and it's called psychological operations, it's called regime change, it's called mind control. Everything that we've learned about the CIA, the idea that many of us wanted them to go in there and shut it down finally after JFK wanted to and they killed him, you know, in 63. All they've done is let the this goes with the 702. The intelligence community in the United States of America is a rogue situation that is not protecting Americans. It is protecting the institutions and the global governance model of the international banking cartel from the American people, from being held accountable, and from the Constitution. I don't care who's in there. They are protecting agencies and institutions and not the Constitution and the people of this country. The CIA is rotten to the core. I told you about Steady State last week. They're not even hiding that the CIA, rogue CIA, prior to Donald Trump, were all involved in every operation since 2016. They have a whole website called Steady State where they brag about it. And that's on the side of the lawfare. So the bottom line is, whose country is this? And does the Constitution still matter? And again, as you're, I'm sure you talked about, the AI Bill of Rights. Are you kidding me? This all of this is walking us into the Agenda 2030 panopticon faster than we were under Joe Biden's auto pen. So the American people are the only solution here, and that is to opt out and say, no way, we're not doing this. We have a constitution, and it's got to stand.
Yeah, well, Mel, that's what the people need to do. And, you know, here on InfoWars, we'll keep doing that. But for folks at home, too, Mel does a great job. You do a great job, Mel, over at the Mel K Show. I wanted to promote that, too. You know, we had Jeff Clark on today. It was a little bit of a shorter interview. You did a long-form interview. He's so great, but I know you did an incredible interview with him, and it's long-form for folks at home. Let's say you want to catch it yourself. Head on over. Mel, you just launched a Substack too. Big news. So look it up.
Yes.
The Mel K Show is where you could find her on Substack. And I just shared your Substack with my Substack folks. So,
Thank you.
You do a great job, girl. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud to call you my friend, Mel. So thank you as always. It's a great interview, folks.
Thank you.
Give her a follow.
We got to keep fighting.
Yeah.
We got to keep fighting, Brianna. And and that's it. We the people are the only answer. And we have to really realize that we still have power and act like it. Thank you so much for all the work you do at InfoWars, and you will continue to do after InfoWars.
You are the best, girl, and we'll team up. We'll do it together. Mel K, host of the Mel K Show. If you don't follow her on X, you're making a big mistake. Give her a follow on X as well. And again, the Substack is just the Mel K Show. She's on Rumble too. You can find her literally everywhere. I mean, this girl is a busy woman. She does a great job. Follow her. And also, in case you want a plan, you know, a plan that lets you take back the power. Obviously, we have very corrupt government officials. Mel did a great job at outlining that plan. She's the author of the book, Americans Anonymous, Restoring Power to the People, One Citizen at a Time. And her book about the CIA is coming out soon, too. So sign up for her Substack. It's free, again. And when that book officially drops, which will be very, very soon, a couple of weeks away, she'll push it on her Substack as well. Again, The Mel K Show. Big fan of Mel. Great, great neighbor, too. She's a great neighbor. All right, folks, let's get back to some of the news stories as well that I want to make sure we got into, because this one's a big one. I don't really like the governor of Texas. I think that he is a bit weak. If you live in Texas, you get it. You get it. I always question who's funding this guy, because when I talk to Texans, they're not really, they're not angry, but they're also not happy with what he's done so far. He jumped on something very, very late to the game, but he's doing a victory lap as if he's been there from day one. I'm talking about EPIC, the East Plano Islamic Center. Now listen, Texas has been attacked by Islam. They are being conquered by Islam. I believe we have over 390 something mosques that have gone up recently, Islamic centers as well. They're popping up everywhere and they're building these compounds. Again, it's not mega mosques. I know a lot of people like to describe it like that. That lets them off too easy. What they're trying to do is build compounds. So their followers don't ever leave the compounds and they don't get to coexist. They just want to build and conquer the West. I mean, that's the goal in all of this. And it's not just me saying that. They literally say it themselves all the time. So people like Greg Abbott are just starting to wake up now. And Greg Abbott's doing a victory lap as if he had anything to do with this victory lap. Epic, who's been trying to rebrand themselves because they got national attention thanks to Amy Mack, who's been doing the digging into Epic and sounding the alarm on it, caught the national media's attention. So they try to rebrand themselves. It's not working. They call themselves the Meadow these days. But they've just been handed down what appears to be some type of temporary restriction. Now, they're trying to build up on the land that they purchase. And again, a lot of these Islamic groups are purchasing land. It's a temporary restraining order. They're purchasing land through LLCs, which pretend to be Christian, or they're owned by the CCP or some Chinese entity. And they are buying, and then they quickly transfer it over to the Muslims. So what's happening in East Plano? Well, we talked about it extensively. They're trying to do a takeover. But now Greg Abbott's doing a victory lap. He says, at my direction, he told, and this is the, I believe, the Texas Agriculture Division, to investigate and caught them illegally trying to develop, I guess it's the meadow is what he's trying to describe in his tweet. Today's court order stops them in their tracks. We will not rest in the mission to stop the spread of radical Islam, as if there's any other form of Islam. They always try to distance themselves, right? They can't go after the Muslims too much. So they say radical Islam because they want to make it seem different. But if you read the Quran, there's over 100 verses that call for acts of violence against non-believers. And so forget but hasn't read the Quran, it's safe to say, or done any research. But the polling numbers show that Americans are deeply concerned about places like Texas, Alabama, Florida. They're all being taken over, conquered. They're buying up old churches and they're conquering them. I mean, this is a movement that's being funded by the Saudis, by Qatar, who the president has now welcomed into his White House. Disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful. And so this is what they're doing. And Greg Abbott said nothing to stop any of this. It's been going on for years under his watch. And my sources tell me that they have actually done more to stop Ken Paxton's office from digging into all this. Now, Ken Paxton's office has been doing a lot of digging. They've been reaching out to me for a very long time now. We've connected them to key people who've been investigating all of this. And Ken Paxton's been going after these Islamic groups trying to purchase land throughout Texas. But my sources tell me that, you know, they're trying, but they keep getting stonewalled. And that was because the governor's office was stepping in. But now the polling data is very favorable. Rasmussen Report says about 77% of Americans are deeply concerned about this issue. And then when Turning Point did a poll, it was like, I think 90% of Turning Point attendees deem this as the number one issue. So now Republicans are jumping on board. And Greg Abbott's doing a little victory lap. I went to that hearing. I'm telling you folks, Greg Abbott had nothing to do with anything related to the pressure campaign. Greg Abbott, okay, had nothing to do with any of this. Nothing. But he needs to do a victory lap now. Now his team is reaching out. They're trying to send a bridge over to people. But they're far too late. Why is he doing this now? Because he's up for re-election. And it doesn't mean that I think he's going to lose. No, the countries I hate has continued to fund his campaign because he's allowed this to happen. And again, I mean, they've done a great job. The Texas judge who I was sitting there for, in Collin County, Chris Hill, did a great job at saying, hey, we gotta stop this. They've already purchased the land legally. So now this would have to be the state of Texas seizing it. It's going to be the county. We just can't allow them to build up because it's not ready infrastructure-wise to be able to do that. So it keeps getting kicked down the road. But Greg Abbott's office wants to do a little victory lap because they know this is very popular amongst Texans because they don't want this beautiful Christian state to be taken over by jihadists. So Greg Abbott's full of it. You know that. I know that. Keep spreading the word. Make sure everyone knows. He's up for re-election. He's trying to rewrite history as if he's done anything efficient to help on this issue. All right, folks, we're coming to the final minute of this show. Let me just remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. VIP members, we appreciate when you do VIP, of course. $30 a month gets you VIP status. What does that mean? Well, you get a $40 credit each month. we're literally paying you. We're giving you $10 extra to use at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. And when you become a VIP member, you help us stay up and running. And we're doing our next project. As you heard when I was on Alex's show, we'll be working together and building up that news division. So we appreciate it when you go to thealexjonesstore.com and you support us by becoming a VIP member. So head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. The Alex Jones Show will start in just a moment. That does it for me. Thank you to everyone for watching The American Journal and welcoming in as the host. It's been a great honor of mine. And I'll catch you here next time. Don't go anywhere.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, canceling time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.